The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, before you get into the show, which I know you're super excited to hear because every fucking show of Thinking Outside the Long Box is amazing, we want to thank our Patreon supporters, Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, Steve, and now Christine. Thank you so much for being a part of this show by donating to us on Patreon. If you too would like to support this show and keep it going every other week after every other week, then you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB where you can get your choice of all sorts of cool bonus videos and awesome prizes like hats and t-shirts, original sketches. I don't know if you guys follow Tim Husky's artwork on Instagram, but one of those original sketches got colored and it was fucking amazing. So join us today at patreon.com/TOTLB. And to those of you who are already subscribed, thank you so much. We appreciate you more than our own assholes.
Live from Gabe's basement, where we're still talking about Shaq's dick, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with today's hosts, Gabe, Juan, Tim, and Doyle.
It has an elbow.
It'd be funny if it was tiny, like a micro penis.
I assume that's being recorded.
Yeah. We're recording.
Don't just be amusing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 84 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
Which way are we going?
I'm Juan.
Tib.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Doyle.
Gay now, I guess. Totally got corn swallowed into being gay.
Hey, watch your cornhole, bro. Yeah.
Watch your cornhole, brother.
Two chicks at the same time.
Oh, man. I can't wait to talk about Office Space because that movie fucking holds up. But that'll be in our second segment. Holy shit.
Definitely
I
does.
Realized we totally didn't record it before the episode. So
we'll record one.
We'll record it before the episode that'll be about
after the episode.
Insert theme here. Anyway, moving on.
I don't know what's going on.
Is that because the theme is about inserting?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, something like that.
Just be something.
I just don't know what we're going to talk about, so I'm kidding.
It's going to be something about Doyle?
Yeah.
Probably. That seemed to be the topic.
That's not going anywhere anytime soon. Sorry, brother. You being gay.
Shit. Being gay.
Oh, I mean, whatever.
Ruining everything.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I tell more self-deprecating jokes by far than even racist jokes. It's not like it surprised me. What surprised me is the amount of time he had to fucking put that shit together.
That was kind of my feeling. As I was, I got about like 5-10 minutes into it, and I was like, well, he's been a lot of fucking time on this.
I thought about
18 minutes is too long, John.
I thought about rebuttals, and I was like, I don't have the time to rebut equally.
I was talking with Bailey that we
just
should
send
have
me a voicemail that says "fuck you."
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was talking with
over and over again the music with the my wife. That's all.
I was talking with Bailey about how we should have like a little theme song that's like Gabe's reactions to Clyde's corrections, and have like a theme song that lasts like maybe 30 seconds. And then the theme song's done, and I just go, fuck you, Clyde. And then, like, the outro theme song, like, but that would require a lot of work, so yeah. I'm out.
Like a title, I just don't give a fuck. But honestly, I thought it was pretty funny.
I should mention, though, that the Old Still Radio Show, which I know we
time
we,
fuck that
we
guy.
Even, we haven't even talked about what we're listening to.
Time, well, I mean, just, I mean, we fun hour. On him a lot and make fun of his show and stuff, but it is a good show.
I've been listening to it, honestly, recently.
Yeah, I like
him. I said, I became his first Patreon supporter today.
That's interesting. Yeah. Huh.
Go fuck yourself, Clyde. Choke on that money, bitch.
It's blood money.
It's blood money, sir. No, I thought it was funny.
Oh, so I laughed so hard. I laughed out loud at
I
work.
I was laughing my ass off.
Like, literally, one of the guys at work was like, what's so funny? I was like, I don't think it's appropriate to tell you.
It not. Might be harassment.
Yeah, it might be sexual. It might be sexual harassment. Just saying out loud.
The funniest part is, had he waited my one more episode, there would have been just
the Shaq dick stuff. I know.
10 minutes of me sucking Shaq's dick, and he wouldn't have cut anything.
I'm gonna play that episode. Be like, my work is done here.
A wasted time, sir.
I had no idea that Pierce Brosnan was Irish, by the way. I thought he was funny. English. Yeah. I had no fucking idea.
I just had no idea I was gay. Who thunk it?
Oh, shit. I just assume that like 80 to 70% of what I say is wrong, so...
My favorite part was I was like, you're insulting me with something that I don't find offensive. It's like, if I was gay, it would just be gay.
So you're just super stoked that he didn't call you Chinese?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, this African-American. I'm like, wow. You son of a... No.
Why? Mexican still comes with bad connotations to it. I mean,
I know. If I was African-American, at least be good at sports. Have a larger penis than I do. It's not a great size.
You have like Shaq level dick.
Yeah. I want mine to have an elbow.
It does not.
It doesn't.
It a does not. Maybe.
Just has extra skin.
What do you think's better, shooting free throws? It doesn't get Shaq
it
dick?
Never gets big enough to fill up all the skin.
Has to be the dick.
So stupid.
Yeah. Oh man. So first thing I want to talk about.
I have a little surprise.
Oh, uh-oh. Nice.
To keep you're going pregnant. Though.
Oh.
Oh, is it John?
Could it be?
Garnett.
Are we going to answer that?
Hello?
Hello?
Holy crap, it's John.
Oh, that's
Ghost
sweet.
Ghost of John Pass.
Wait. If you're dead, who's collecting my comics?
Where's my money, Doyle?
Finn.
We got to come down. I'll be there for the Superman thing.
Right on.
He'll be having my mic, I think, so he'll be able to record.
Cool.
I'll be nice. I'll just ask people about Superman.
Yeah, we have him on a leash, one of them bark kind of leashes where if he says something stupid, he gets shocked.
Oh, yeah. Man, that sounds like a future episode to me.
I don't want to do that.
I don't know that you have a choice anymore.
Maybe the Namor thing doesn't pan out. We'll just have a shock the piss out of Doyle episode.
That's all right.
What's up, John?
You like pissing your pants and having a seizure.
We just started.
No.
Nice.
You literally are jumping on the beginning of the episode.
Well, that never happens.
All right.
And we love you for
yeah,
it.
I see how it works because you're like, yeah, we're going to record. And then you're like, oh, John's trying to Skype, but I don't have Skype on, you're really not.
To be fair, you whenever I text you, you don't get back to me until like 7 hours later.
That's true.
And whenever Mel sends you an email for my invoice, you don't get back to her till never?
Yeah, no. That's too hard. I don't have time for that shit.
Oh, man. How's it been, John?
Good. Busy, tired, but good.
You excited for Action Comics 1000?
I am. It's the last week in March and this week and next week and the week after. Like, they're just huge weeks for new comic releases, and it's insane, man. It's like the check that I have to write to Diamond is nuts. So this next week, I mean, so the last week in March, we had Metal number 6 and Doomsday Clock number 4 that came out, or 5, which are, you know, those are, we have like 150 people subscribed to Metal, and we have 100 Jesus. People on each cover for Doomsday Clock.
One of them sitting right here.
They're just huge. Yeah, they're huge, you know, releases. And next week, the Action Comics hardcover, so the 80 years of Superman hardcover, comes out. And we pre-sold, I think, 53 copies of this $30 hardcover.
Wow.
So much so that, like, one day, one of my sales rep from DC called me up, and he's like, hey, we got an abnormally large order from you for these things. They're $30 a piece. Are you sure that you want 53 copies? I was like, yeah, man, they're all sold, and I have to order more to have in the store. He's like, all right, we just wanted to check and see.
You fucking got scammed and shit.
I'm one of those pre-sales, right? Correct? It's been so long. I'm one of those pre-sales, correct?
You gotta yell at the computer.
That's what I thought. I just couldn't remember. It's been a while.
So that's next week with Captain America 700 and all kinds of stuff. And then the week after that is Action Comics 1000. So there's just these four stupid giant weeks in a row. And it's exhausting.
And after that, you got free comic.
Yeah, you got free comic book day. Yeah. Pretty close.
And then there's that coming up too, which is crazy.
John, was the Red Goblin a pretty decent release?
It was. Yes, yeah. that was huge. We went big on it. I don't know. We didn't sell out. We limited one comic per customer up until yesterday, and most people were cool with that. We sold out of all the variants, but we still have a decent amount of the regular books left, so I'm happy with it. It had a good sell-through.
That's just in the normal Spider-Man run, right?
Yeah, that's just an amazing.
Cool, then I have that.
They started, so Dan Slott is leaving Amazing Spider-Man at issue 801, and he's been writing it since. I think he did all the Superior Spider-Man stuff where Doc Ock took over Peter's body. And then when the reboot after that happened, he's been writing it. So he's been writing Spider-Man for, it seems like, ever. So he's leaving the title on issue 801. And this last story arc has been, the first part was called Threat Level Red. And it was all about, I guess when Superior happened, Doc Ock took over Peter's body. And he did something to Norman Osborn because Norman knew that Peter was Spider-Man. Ooh. He kind of effed with his memory. What's that?
He did something?
Little finger action?
Yeah, he messed with his... Yeah, little finger in the butt. Little octopus in the butt.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow, that sounds like way out of your comfort zone, man.
Yeah, very much so. Pinchers of power, no bueno.
Pinchers of power.
I feel like John has cold chills right now.
I can't imagine what suction cups would do on the inside of you.
He's like, octopus,
They're going to prolapse you, bro. Just going to hang on.
Aren't you glad you came on today, John?
So much so, yeah.
Octopus, we miss octopus, you. Octopus.
Just glad I'm not on the speaker, so I don't have to explain what that is to myself. Prolapse!
Why would you say it out loud? Are you kidding me? Right. I'm glad I'm not on speaker, exactly. So I don't have to talk about prolapsed anuses.
Whoops.
I like the Carissa just
It's good times. So anyway, Doc messed with Norman, and so Norman forgot that Peter was Spider-Man, and
yes,
somehow in this last story arc he got those memories back, so he's going after Peter pretty hardcore.
It was confusing. It was very
He finds the Carnage symbiote, and so he makes out with the Carnage symbiote a little bit. Nom, nom, nom. Just the tip, just for a second, and then boom, Red Goblin.
That's cool.
It is kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
So with Action Comics 1000,
it sold well. It's good.
Nice. With Action Comics 1000,
Still there?
Still here. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
This is great for radio.
He said yes.
I know. I'm just kidding. All of us just yelling, can you hear us?
Action Comics 1000, radio.
We're still here. No, so with Action Comics 1000 coming out, I know that Detective Comics is at like 977 or something like that. Like, how much further out is that? That's only like another 6 months or something, right?
I think that's going to happen next year. I don't know that's going to happen this year. I think when we figured out the 2 issues a month, it should happen right around this time next year.
Oh, okay.
That was smart of them.
Yeah.
That one I'm all in for.
Seems
I don't give a fuck
planned
about Superman.
And the Man of Steel. It's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. Finn just asked why people would put octopus in people's butts.
Why do people put anything in people's butts?
Touche. No.
There was a time when that was a question for me, and still I have no answer.
What?
Tim puts a lot of octopuses in his butt.
That was how I started coming on this fucking show as a butt plug enthusiast.
That's true.
It's a delay thing going on.
Yeah,
that's what we're hearing.
It's like you're going through a series of small tunnels.
Yeah, there's a lot of those on I-25 South Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Very small tunnels.
It's like block-long tunnels.
But yeah, so that's kind of in the comic book world. The free comic book day is coming up Cinco de Mayo.
Wow. All right. Okay, Doyle.
So what other stuff has been selling really good besides Red Goblin and Superman $30 book?
So this week there's a new book out from Image. This last Wednesday, Rapture, and the artist by Carl Herschel, and we got to meet those guys in Portland at Comics Pro, and they're super nice guys. Brendan Fletcher, he did an awesome run on Batgirl, and he does a title called Motor Crush for Image, and he's written all kinds of stuff. I think Robotech series for a while, and he's done a ton of shit also. But these friends since like elementary school, and they've had this idea for this comic book that they've been working on. And so they got up and they were kind of talking about it. And I was like, that's fucking awesome. That's what it's all about. And so we went, it's kind of, I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it's got a kind of a saga feel and the art is absolutely beautiful. So I think it's going to be kind of like the next saga sort of thing. So we went pretty heavy on it without having a lot of people pre-subscribe to it, and it has sold extremely well. And everybody that's like flipped through the book, nobody's read it to tell me whether it's been, whether it's good or not, but everybody's just floored by the art in this thing. So
what was the name of the book again?
Isola. It's I-S-O-L-A. It's about like a guy, I can't remember if it's a guy or a gal, and it's a gal, and there's like a tiger that's a princess, and so he has to escort, or she has to escort the tiger princess to like the new throne kind of stuff. So it's this weird fantasy thing. I don't know, but it's it's absolutely gorgeous.
Sounds awesome, man. It sounds like a really cool book.
So that's been doing well. I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know if you talked about it. The Marvel's rebooting again.
Yay! I'm so excited for Marvel to reboot again.
Here's the thing, right? Like, I think
don't fucking justify this bullshit. Don't you dare justify it.
I think this is them trying to right the ship. I just wish that they would have done all of this, because they've got these awesome creators, you know, on these titles, and I wish that they would have done that after Legacy. Like, Legacy just feels like a gimmick to me now. Like, they said, all right, we're going to do this Legacy thing. We're going to bring all these old characters back. We're going to change the Legacy numbering. And really, it was just a gimmick to get, you know, Spider-Man to 800 and Captain America to 700 and Daredevil to 600 and Moon Knight to 200 and all this kind of bullshit, which is a bummer. So, but I have hope. I don't know if I should, but I have hope that that this is gonna be good. We'll see.
Well, if you trust in it, then I'll take any Ghost Rider stuff that comes out.
Okay. I think he's a member of the Avengers, but I think that's about it.
No, I'm not interested in that. Hard
pass. How can Ghost Rider be an Avenger?
I don't know.
He's like a Revenger.
Oh, come on. Semantics, really? No, so here's the thing. I haven't had a previews in a couple of months. Are there any hints at a Marvel Conan book yet?
I haven't flipped through the one that we just got this week to see. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's, I mean, they're talking about it, so they should.
Yes, they should.
Yeah. It just bums me out about that, because I really liked all the Dark Horse Conan stuff, so.
Oh, dude, and the last run with Cullen Bunn was really cool, too, so.
That's cool.
I was super stoked to see more of it, and then it was just, oh, hey, we sold the rights back to Marvel. I was like, no.
Right.
Marvel ruins every comic.
As Conan being your jam, are you worried that that's going to dilute the property some?
Absolutely.
Are you, okay.
Absolutely I am. Like,
okay.
Because a lot of the time Marvel seems like it's definitely written for like a, let's try to write for the teenage market. And,
sure.
And Conan shouldn't be for the teenage market. It should be like a real-ass comic book like it was with Dark Horse. That's what made the Dark Horse
real run ass so, comic book.
Real-ass comic books. That's what made the especially the initial Dark Horse run so good is because those like kind of, you know, 7 and 8 issue like standalone series that Marvel put out of Conan in the 90s were so fucking cheesy. That when we got like a real Conan that went back to the Robert Howard source material, it's like, oh yeah, I remember why I fucking love this stuff. Like, so I don't know. I'm nervous about it, but hopefully they put a good writer and a good artist on it. And I mean, I'm going to buy it either way just because I love Conan. So sexually, of course.
And all of the variants, you want all the variants, all 25 variants.
So to answer your question, I will take any variant that is like under $20. Like, I don't want any like 1 in 5,000 variants or anything insane like that.
This variant costs you $800.
And you know to hold on to the blanks for me.
Oh, I do. Yeah. If they make blanks of it, I want a blank though, because I'll get somebody crazy.
Just one blank?
Yeah, he can't afford to get it drawn on, but he wants the blank.
Yeah.
That's not true.
You want a long box of blanks?
I don't want a long box of blanks.
It's your opportunity to get Liefeld to draw Conan's foot.
Oh my god.
It's just the foot.
Did you guys see Pouch Man that Leafield
I was the one who posted it. Yeah.
That was amazing. As much as I hate on Rob Liefeld, I love that he has a sense of humor about his stuff.
I still feel like if you walked up to him and be like, I would like a sketch of Conan's foot, he'd fucking be pretty irritated with you.
Now I want a commission of that pouch character.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
Like, so quick question. How is the like Wolverine/Hulk comic?
I don't know. I had one guy that read it and he said it was okay. Old Weapon H.
Yeah, it seems retarded, but I kind of want to like read it still. But
because you also fall in that category,
yeah, it's true. It's all right. I'm like, I like the Wolverine. I like the Hulk.
It seems like all that Marvel's doing right now is mashups. You know, Red Goblin is Green Goblin with Carnage. Weapon H is Hulk-Verine. They just did Old Woman Laura, which makes – it's like
Yeah, how many old people can we write comics about?
We lost John. Maybe we'll get him back.
We'll see. We'll figure it out.
Still recording.
Old Woman Laura.
He said it was
– Was it Old Man Laura, did he say?
All right.
All right, talk. And if we get him
on. All right, so going back to – what I was going to talk about right before John came on, Juan and I went to go see Chris Hardwick with our ladies.
We saw that Facebook pictures.
So first of all, it was a ton of fun. Second of all, the Comedy Works, not for fat people. Like, just saying. Like, I literally had this woman effectively sitting on my thigh the entire show because the chairs were so fucking close to each other. Like, you couldn't...
Guess
like,
I'm not going.
Yeah, you could not have sat there. Like, you would have... You definitely would have trolled on that woman until she cried and left. Yeah, like, I don't know. But what'd you think, Juan? Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was really good. I've never watched his stand-up or anything before, so...
I heard it was very, like, teenager-y before I went, though, so it was good. It was good. Like, he tells a lot of dick and fart jokes and...
Well, yeah.
Like, that's very...
Not anything that happens here.
No, but I'm saying, that's what I heard that was kind of the level of the comedy, and it was good, but it was funny. I laughed my ass hilarious. Off the whole time.
The other two comedians were really hilarious, too, so I liked them both. Yeah,
the other guy was funny. The girl was really funny.
Yeah, she
And
was.
She was sexy. Like, what the fuck? Like, how hard is it to find a fucking... Like, that's just... Like, I feel like a lot of that is played up for her comedy. She looked great. I feel like it would be very easy for her to find a person, but so, I
like,
could
was she, like...
I could be wrong.
Self-deprecating herself. Yeah, but like she was really hot, though.
Most of her set was about how hard it was for her to find like a dude that gave a shit about her.
And she looked good.
I think part of it, too, though...
Yeah, it might be just hard to find dudes who give a shit about chicks these days.
Well, and I also think part of it is, like, she lives in Los Angeles. Like, and people are, like, so fucking...
Dude, they're
crazy,
pretty douchey,
like,
there.
Body-focused and nuts
in
out
general,
there.
Just... Lack souls.
Yeah.
That's why I like being fat when I go over there.
Yeah, because people leave you alone or because
no,
you're an oddity?
It's
or?
Like totally this like, what the fuck is that?
Like, people are like, oh, should I give him $5? Yeah. Is this a freak show?
Or it's like he must be like the new Jonah Hill style movie star. There always has to be one.
The one fat guy in the comedy.
The fat comedian guy. He's in the comedies.
I had a blast. It was super fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We tried to get an interview, but that didn't happen. But that would have been fucking amazing.
They laughed at us, probably.
Probably. Much like, I'm sure, Jennifer Aniston's people laughed at us.
When did you guys reach out to Jennifer Aniston?
For Office Space.
For Office Space.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
I don't randomly reach out to, especially huge stars.
I am a huge fan of Friends. Get off my balls.
Especially huge stars like that. I don't, if you just reach out to them to just be like, hey, I want an interview, there's no way.
But when you reach out to them for an interview about a movie they did a decade ago, they're
just saying, well, you explain why you're doing it.
Remember that movie? You probably don't, but you remember.
You remember that one time you were in a really funny movie?
Probably their best movie, actually.
Hers?
I can't think of
another Jennifer Aniston movie. Period.
Horrible. She was in
Horrible Bosses.
She's pretty good at Horrible Bosses too.
It's mostly because she's like a fucking succubus. There's no excuse to have a body that hot.
Yeah, but her character, she was funny though too.
It out there.
Yeah, she has
the bad thing.
She has trouble finding men too.
Yeah. Right, I'm gonna leave that one alone because I feel like I just say something really mean about Jennifer Aniston. I don't really feel like it.
Yeah. Same deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be like a misogynist on the next Old Story.
Wow, we found us a gay misogynist.
That's fucking weird. Yeah.
That was my Clyde impression. How'd I do?
Eh,
Yeah, it's pretty shitty. Yeah.
She would try again.
Nah.
There wasn't enough, like,
hillbilly.
Yeah. Cast, you know what I mean? Like, just didn't come through the vocal cords.
Wow.
You know, inbreeding with moonshine.
You also need to be sitting in your car while it's raining.
Yeah. I love you, John.
Man. So, anybody...
I'm just going to try. Keep going.
Oh, anybody read or He's watch at anything?
Home. I saw Jessica Jones.
How'd that go?
There's John.
He's back.
And we're back.
So you were saying something about old woman Laura.
Oh, yeah. They're doing old woman Laura X20, and they're doing old woman Harley.
Old woman Harley?
Yeah, she's doing it.
Harley Quinn does not seem like she would age well.
Right.
It's a crazy bitch.
Laura kicks like a giant fruit bat on the cover, and it's terrible.
What a dumb gimmick to steal, too. Like, the old woman Harley. Like, why would you steal, like, what is quickly becoming, like, the dumbest gimmick that Marvel has running?
Hello.
Oh, God.
It sucks, too, because Old Man Logan was so good, and then...
Fucking weird. I put my cell phone standing in one place.
What if you jumped on a laptop?
I'll jump on your mom.
Oh, that
got real, real fast. Yeah.
I don't know if that's good for her or bad for you.
Real.
Yeah, it could be bad for your mom. Spry up the old lady.
So what other stuff are you excited about right now, John?
Nope.
Yeah, it's super laggy.
We need to get you off this Boost Mobile plan you're on.
He's got a burner phone.
Yeah. It's literally the only joke he's heard in the last like 15 fucking minutes.
The insults, they come across great.
Yeah.
Let me try.
Laptop?
Boo, dee, boo, boo.
Yeah.
There it is.
Click. Nice. So, Jessica Jones, how'd that go?
Good. I liked the second season. And I advocated this through a couple other podcast people, but the second season I think should have been the first season. It was way more origin-y than it was anything else, and then I feel like the second season would have been better coming off of a first season like the second season was, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Because they talked about IGH and where she came from and who created her, and who they touched on the doctor, and they touched on somebody from her personal life. If you haven't seen it, I'll let you discover it as
yes,
it goes
which
through.
I have not.
I'm also not
that watching. That involves watching things and having spare time.
But it's way, way more origin story than it is a development or another kind of villain, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like if that would have went first, then it would have been good, but the second season would have been even better because of Killgrave.
Which
I almost
was
said Killmonger.
The first season.
Correct.
Which was amazing already.
It was good.
So,
yeah, it was
really
good.
But I did get through it. I was not too fat to make it all the way to the end of Jessica Jones season one.
But it was...
son of a bitch, Clyde.
It was just too... It was slow. This one was way more like mystery than the first one. Because Killmonger. I keep wanting to say Killmonger. Killgrave, he shows up in like the second or third episode, I think. It's pretty quick. And you don't really find out who the villain is in this one until like halfway through the season. It's really weird. And then the villain ends up not really being like a villain. It's really funky. Like it's good and I enjoyed it, but the whole season was a little weird. It was different than the first one for sure.
So talking about Killmonger, which you did inadvertently, Black Panther is now the third highest grossing American film of all time. Like, it surpassed Titanic this week. So
I'd say that's about right.
What's ahead of it? I wonder. Probably James Cameron's Avatar. And
I think it's Avatar and Gone with the Wind.
Doesn't help the gay thing, but unfortunately, I did see Titanic more times in the theater than I saw Black Panther.
You know, incidentally, I did too.
Or the racist thing either.
Like, you know what's funny? I saw Titanic in the theater probably like six times.
Dude, I saw it a bunch of times too for some reason.
Because at the time, not only was it like a huge movie that like everybody wanted to see, but it was also like the go-to high school date movie. So like every girl that I took out in that like, you know, 9-10 month period, she's like, let's go see Titanic. I'm like, all right.
I feel like that bitch was in the theater for like 2 years too or some shit. Like,
I think movies had longer runs back then just because.
Well, they also got to the Dollar Theater and then they would sit there for an extra 3 months.
Oh, man, I miss Dollar Theater.
I know I saw Titanic once with like my parents and being like that age where it was kind of awkward to see tits on screen with your mom sitting two seats away. And then I probably took like two dates to see that movie too.
Yeah, like I think I went on like probably three dates to it, and I think I went with my dad to see it, and I think I went with my mom to see it, you know, because obviously they're divorced. So.
That's a lot.
I think I saw it in the theater like five times.
That's a lot.
Which is way more times than I want to watch Titanic, like fucking period. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I don't think I saw it that many times. I think I saw it like three times.
Though. I didn't want to see it at all, but like it was just one of those, let's go watch it. That and Lion King. I think I saw Lion King in the theater like nine times.
I've seen Lion King on my TV about 100 times.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Two weeks.
Now that I have children, I've seen Lion King probably 3,000 times.
I think Return of the King is the movie I saw the most in theater just because I was such a fucking dork.
Yeah,
like all of my. I don't even know what that is.
The third Lord of the Rings,
dude.
Return of. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
With its like 15 false endings.
I own the movie. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
But like, I saw that movie.
What
like,
king is returning?
Is this a Jesus movie? Right?
I thought you were gonna go with a Jedi, but then you just. I don't know.
What movie do you think you've seen the most in the theater?
No, I don't watch movies in the theater like that.
I usually typically watch them one time and then
you
I'm good.
Never have?
I don't think I've ever seen a movie twice in the theater.
And I think it's a generational thing.
I saw
Independence
Day 15 times.
That's too many times.
It was at the Dollar Theater. I remember just going every day for a while,
to go watch another movie.
Like genuinely the theater genuinely the movie that I saw the most in the theater was Twins. Because this is why I
couldn't have guessed that in a billion years.
So I used to live when I was little. I used to live about five blocks away from here.
It's because you wanted to be Danny DeVito, huh?
And there was a little bit. Oh no, he's doing just fine. And It's Always Sunny, man. Drinking wine out of soda cans.
Not having chins.
So right behind the 7-Eleven that's right up here by my house, there's like a auto shop, and that used to be the dollar movie theater.
I also lived very close to it when I was a kid.
And
child.
I would like literally walk three blocks, and Twins was in the Dollar Theater for fucking ever. Yeah. And I like every like Wednesday and Thursday, like my mom would go do something, and I had like free time and like no supervision. I'd be like, I got a dollar, and I think I saw Twins in the theater like 15, 16 times.
That was it with Independence Day, too. I wasn't allowed to come home until, you know, the parents were home. And I had a dollar.
They didn't want you at home?
None of us said that, but the fucking door locked. It don't unlock until mom gets home.
That's fucking weird.
No, my parents did that.
I'd rather you be unsafe and on the streets than in my house.
That was safer than... in my mom's mind, it was better for me to be outside playing than fucking like eating all the food and destroying the house so that when she came home from work, she's like, why do I have this giant mess to clean up?
It wasn't for their safety, it was for their money. Yeah.
Mikko, go play with strangers.
Wow, we had really crazy childhoods now that I think about it.
Oh,
you like your dog, Mikko?
You would go to jail today if you did that to your kids.
Oh, no shit. Like, so
I commented last time. I was here with Tim because your daughters were outside playing, and I was like, dude, that's uncommon.
Yeah.
Period. Just to see little kids playing.
Yeah. And we let them play with their neighbors and like go down the street.
I used to do that shit too all the time.
There's like a park.
But you don't see that anymore.
There's a park like three blocks away, and I let the kids walk to it and go play at it. Like, you know, as long as Ashton or Bailey's with them. And like I've had people go, you know, you probably shouldn't let your kids wander around the neighborhood. I'm all, it's their fucking neighborhood. Like, it's not like there's shootings around here all the time or anything. Fuck off.
All the time.
Well, then Mel found
that. There's never been a shooting in our neighborhood.
Mel found that dumbass article about free-range parenting. God, that thing was cancer.
Dude.
That was the dumbest fucking article I've ever read in my life.
Dude, it pisses me off. Like, the idea, the way I grew up is now illegal.
Yeah,
like,
right?
It's illegal for me to let my kids, like, just have childhoods.
Yeah. Dude, we used to take, like... We used to cruise all over Greeley though when I was a little kid, like walking around on bikes. We used to get on bus and go down to LaSalle because they have the swimming pool in the high school down there. And I was like 10.
Dude, I used to ride my bike from like where Walmart is now, like, because I lived over there for a while.
It used to be,
but I used to ride
hill over there too.
Yeah, I used to ride that all the time until it got dark. But I would ride my bike literally across town to the downtown library all the time. That's like a fucking 5 mile bike ride,
right?
And like zero people gave a shit, and I was definitely not the only kid that was like trekking across town to go to the library.
I wonder if there's a statistic about little kids getting kidnapped or diddled or
crime
something.
Has gone down so significantly since the 80s. Like the amount of people that get like murdered and raped is so much smaller now than it was back then, but people are so terrified of it now because it's on the news all the time.
Plus it's probably a higher ratio per kids being outside because there's never any kids outside.
Right.
It's like when there is one, yeah, of course they get diddled. You know, that's
I'm saying I wouldn't let Johnny go out, and he's the oldest of my two. I wouldn't let them go out without me. Five.
He's pretty young.
I wouldn't let them go out.
Yeah, five is pretty young.
I'm not saying five.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, even in Eaton, where it's a tiny little town.
You live in a cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, when he's, like, 12, are you going to let him ride his bike outside?
Yeah, for sure.
Of course you are, because that's what fucking normal-ass parents do.
I don't know if I'd let him ride to Eaton. That's the thing. That's the weird thing.
Proper for
like
you,
to across
to
the tracks
across
and all
highway.
That shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a little different. I never had to ride across a highway. Like,
I used to like skateboard with friends at like 12 years old and literally skate from like the county all the way into Baltimore City through like poverty
Baltimore.
As a small child.
But what I'm saying
like
is I can see both sides. Like I used to do a lot of things, but would I let my kids do those things? And the answer to that is fuck no. I wouldn't let my kids go through some fucking weird I wouldn't do it. That's me personally, because I have two kids and I wouldn't want them to go through
during
some shit
the summer,
like that.
We let our kids ride their bike to the library like by themselves. I don't have a problem with that. Like
because like the only skate park in Baltimore was literally like in a basement.
No one cares about Baltimore.
Maybe there's listeners there, Toyo. I don't not. Like them because it's mostly black.
I've never been. I didn't even know it was mostly black.
You do now.
I do now.
And you hate it all the same now.
It's not true. I lived in Seattle.
But
also mostly black.
Yeah, skate like 10 miles all the way down in the city to go skate in a basement. it couldn't get any more sketchier.
Oh, or like video arcades?
Yeah.
Like those are child rape dens. Like that's exactly what they feel like. You show up and give them money and like some greasy dude smoking a cigarette gives you change. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I used to spend hours and hours and hours at the video arcade, and just my parents did not give a fuck.
When I was in middle school, there were kids everywhere outside. I remember because we used to go down to the park, and there'd always be like football games going, or like people just hanging out, like when we were 10, 11 years old.
If Johnny gets to be like 12, 10, nah, maybe like 12, 13, 14, and he just wants to go walk into Eaton, cool. Like that's fine. I mean, Eaton is so little and so like. You know, I don't think anything crazy is going to happen, but the situations that we're talking about where you have to walk through fucking like downtown LA or some bullshit like that, I'm not letting my kids do it. I'm sorry.
No, I don't.
If that makes me a hovering parent, then that's fine. I'm fine with that.
It's just weird to think of how fast it's changed.
Right.
Like, and is it going to keep going that direction?
Like, it's literally my generation to my children's generation is 100% different childhood.
Right.
If you drive by parks and there's not an organized event going there or parents with their very small children, they're fucking barren.
They're completely empty.
It is just an empty space. And that's crazy to me.
And like, especially in Greeley, it's weird because there's all the parks are like in neighborhoods. Like, and people used to move by parks so that they could literally just say, go play at the park.
Right.
You know, and now nobody does that. It's weird. So I do. I let my kids do it. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. They'll be fine. If one of them gets hurt, one of them will run back and tell me they're hurt. You know.
Well, that's why you have been multiples.
Exactly.
If you lose one, you still got three more.
Exactly. God, that felt bad just saying that. Sorry, guys.
I can do it because they're not mine. Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
I shouldn't say that. I love all of my kids.
Even all the furry
all
one.
35 of them.
Gabe's kids just keep multiplying.
I know. They're like tribbles.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, there's more of you guys? What the fuck?
Where the hell are you all coming from?
Stop putting water on these.
Well, you started with four. Now you have like Bailey's whole fucking Derby Bout team.
And like all of her weird ass friends.
And then Ashton and all of his weird ass friends.
So do you want to take...
Creepy. Let's, half of your fucking face.
Let's take a break real quick and go get some food because we have an interview in like 10 minutes.
Oh, shit, we do.
We need the energy. I feel like we're low energy right now.
I'm sure it's my fault. So.
It is your fault.
It is.
Fucking buck up.
Some of it's my fault. I've worked like 85 million hours this week.
Right. I've gotten 5 hours of sleep in 2 days, so...
Rough.
I'm trying to cram as much coffee into myself as possible.
Yeah, well, there's multiple orifices.
Anybody
yeah.
got a like an enema thing?
Anybody?
Yeah. You're only utilizing the one holster.
Anybody got a peanut?
You can get more in there.
Anybody got a peanut? All right, we'll be back in just a little bit.
Bye.
Interview with Sam Johnson, who does Geek Girl.
Hi, this is Brian Cox, the original Hannibal Lecter, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hi, I'm Jay Batts.
And I'm Michael.
And we're the hosts of a very thought-provoking show called The What If Podcast. On it, we'll explore the big
and little
what-ifs of life and steer our listeners toward a better understanding of the
real or hypothetical
situations we might find ourselves in.
Or not. On our journey, we'll learn interesting facts and fictions about the everyday world. And sometimes,
most of the times,
we'll dive headlong into rabbit holes that slide up against the subject and sharply turn away from it.
Come along with us. We'll have fun and learn something new together. New episodes release every other Tuesday. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Music, and anywhere fine podcasts are archived.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, we have Sam Johnson, who is about to come out with a free comic book day issue of Geek Girl and also a new series of Geek Girl. Sam, how are you doing today, man?
I am okay, thank you. How are you?
Good. Pre-record, we talked about how we're both a little tired. You had a few drinks. I had a few wake up way too early in the morning.
Yeah, so, but you know, we're good. We're fine. We can do this.
We're gonna make it. I have eggs and potatoes in front of me.
Okay.
So, Sam, what have you been up to since the last time you were on with us?
Well, I've been working on the second Geek Girl miniseries and, doing a lot of work into that and really pleased with how it's turning out, really pleased with it. So, yeah, as we mentioned, we've got there's a digital free comic book coming out for Free Comic Book Day, May 5th, which kind of has a little material from Volume 1, a little material from Volume 2, and kind of sets up Volume 2.
So you sent us over the pages from the Geek Girl FCBD, and I got the chance to read them, which is awesome. So at the end of Geek Girl, you know, there's this implication that she's dead and all these other things, and then this kind of like moves on from that point. Like, what kind of inspired you to continue the story of Geek Girl from where you had left it off?
Well, it was always – I mean, it wasn't like – she's dead. It was kind of basically the fight with Lightning Storm at the end of issue one, at the end of series one. Lightning Storm's trying to take over a city. Lightning Storm's got these electric powers, and as they're fighting, it appears that Ruby K, Geek Girl, is kind of gets electrocuted by Lightning Storm, but at the same time she's pounding away at Lightning Storm, and they both end up on the floor, lights out. We don't know quite what state either of them are in, but as becomes apparent in this, the Free Comic Book Day, basically we yesterday only just were finishing putting it together. There's still a few bits to add, and the pages I sent you, which were already, there's actually another page to go in there where we see exactly where Ruby is and what's going on with Ruby following that event.
That's awesome. When you're looking at putting together like a Free Comic Book Day thing, you know, obviously you don't want to give away too much of the story, but you're also trying to, like, you know, tantalize people into picking up the next series. Like, how do you balance that load?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's what we're doing here, as I say, it's got a bit of series one, a bit of series two. We get the climactic kind of a cut down version of the climactic battle with Lightning Storm, and then we sort of, it's things go black, and then we cut to now and what's going on. Yeah, I mean, it's basically, I think it's a good teaser, but it as well as being a teaser, it means if you read this and you haven't read the first series of Geek Girl, you're set up. You know what's going down. As I say, that because, you know, we scheduled this show at quite within a short space of time when I was still putting things together. But there'll be like a recap page in the Free Comic Book Day book as well. So yeah, I think it gives you go straight in with the climactic battle scene of series one, and then we get to see where things are. So I think it strikes the right balance of showing you, for those that are newcomers, what you missed, and also, well, there's, in terms of a teaser where it ends, that really sets up what's going to be the second miniseries.
It's almost like a movie teaser trailer in comic book form. Like, it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's Freak Comic Book Day is a fun thing, and it's a good thing to utilize. And I've worked when we've been putting this together with that in mind, so that we could have that out May the 5th, and then in the finished product of that, which will be available digitally, and will be available at the Free Comic Book Day Facebook group. So, yeah, totally lost my thread.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm not sure what we were saying now. Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day. Free Comic Book Day.
So Free Comic Book Day is kind of like 4th of July for comic book nerds. Like,
yeah,
you know, you get into this, like, this space where there's so much out there that you can pick up and read, and it's all, like, really fun. What excites you the most about the process of putting out, like, a Free Comic Book Day comic?
I think there's a buzz feel to it. Like, you know, I know I'll be going into my local comic shop where, they tend to let you have about five of these comics that are all, you know, setting up exciting things to come. Like, you know, you've got the big Marvel books and the DC, as well as all the indies. And yeah, I think it has a buzz feel about it that you wouldn't get from just releasing a free digital preview comic on any other day of the year. It feels like you're part of an event, which is quite cool to be a part of.
It's always really neat. Like, I love, you go to your shop, maybe you wait in line before it opens for like a half an hour, and you just, it's like this party. It's like a big party. Like, most local comic book shops do some kind of fun stuff or have cosplayers and stuff like that. Like, does your shop do anything super fun, or is it just mostly the grab the awesome books?
Yeah, it is that. I mean, my shop, it's quite a small shop. And I think in the UK, I know in America, they do tend to sort of lay on sort of big events and really make it into a big thing. I don't think you get that. So I'm not really aware of that happening so much in the UK, but it's good. It's, as I say, you go, you get your books, and you kind of then rev for what's to come next.
As you're, as you're putting together this book and, like, getting everything situated for May the 5th, what has, like, been the, I guess, what has been, like, the hardest part of, like, the process of, like, putting together, like, this kind of, foreshortened ending to volume one and then, like, a preview to, like, volume two?
The hardest part is the financial aspect of doing it, because whereas the first miniseries, half of it was done back end pay, with this one, it's not being, certainly for the artist and colorist at least, it's not being done that way. So it's quite a financial drain, but I didn't want to. I mean, I'm talking about, obviously the whole mini series, not just the Free Comic Book Day thing. That's not a big expense. But I didn't want to do it as a Kickstarter. I want to do like I did last time with Geek Girl on Kickstarter, is to do use Kickstarter primarily as like a thing for pre-ordering the collection when that comes out. So, I wanted to just put it out, as a comic. But it's an expensive thing to do. And I now have three overdrafts in order to have facilitated this.
It's awesome because, I mean, obviously overdrafts aren't awesome, but you're in this space where you have this idea, you have this project, and you're going for it. And that's really cool to me. Like, I like, we do the same thing where we're just constantly trying to, like, put ourselves out there and do the work. And when something financial comes up, we just end up having to pay for it. I mean, what else are you going to do? what we really need is just billionaire comic book fans that can just fund all of our projects. That's what we need, I think.
Yeah.
A comic book sugar daddy, I think, is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's doable. It's doable. I mean, and the main thing about it with the whole process is that I'm really happy to, you know, we've got the same. Carlos is the art. Carlos Grander is the artist for the book. We've got him back doing all four issues of the second miniseries. Chunlin Zhao, great colorist, also from the first miniseries. Paul McLaren, great letterer. So we've got, you know, the team together, and everyone's delivering. And part of the reason why it's been, you know, such a sort of financial thing for me is that the speed in which Carlos and Chunlin have been able to get the pages done, it's got done faster than I expected it to be, because Carlos had another project and Geek Girl was going to be like he was going to work on it sort of alternating, but whatever's going on with that project, he's had the time recently. So where I was expecting to only sort of April time really start cranking out the pages, we're almost done with issue two, which is great.
Nice. Not everybody is going to have heard your previous interviews on the show, so why don't you give our listeners a little rundown of kind of the basics behind Geek Girl, because I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, so Geek Girl, Ruby Kay is cool, popular college chick that studies PR, and on a drunken whim, her and her friend over here, this guy Trevor Goldstein, who's like the resident brainiac at their college, talking to his pal Jeff about these super tech glasses that he's invented, which give the wearer flight and super strength powers. Now, Stacy, Ruby's friend, is somewhat incredulous about this, and Ruby's possibly not taking things entirely seriously, but alcohol. So they basically decide she decides she wants these glasses, and they beat Trevor and Jeff in a game of strip poker to get them off him. Now, there's a downside to these glasses, and there's a glitch in their programming that is messing with Ruby's brain. And the initial thing that happens is it renders her super klutzy before she gets a handle on the super strength powers. And that causes her to kind of make a fool of herself in the eyes of her too cool for school girlfriends, who are, you know, are incredulous about this whole superpowers idea in the first place. So that happens. Her best friend Summer sticks by her, is really into the whole superhero thing. Her dad's a comic geek. She's got superhero posters in her dorm, so she's well into it. She's the one that actually pushes Ruby into being this superhero. What happens? Ruby doesn't really know what she's doing and ends up in this situation where this new badass lightning storm comes along trying to take over their city of Maine, and Ruby has to step up, and that's where things are. So you've kind of got, like, while she's trying to become this hero, her sort of friendships, her clique is kind of crumbling, with the exception of Summer. And whereas she was before viewed as, you know, cool Ruby Kay, this whole geek girl thing is not something her friends dig. However, by the time we've got to the end of the first series, she's just, you know, effectively saved the city. So her friends, who maybe weren't so crazy about this new geek girl, maybe they're going to rethink that a little bit now.
I love that it's got, like, parts Mean Girls, parts, yeah, like, parts superhero book. It's a really fun read. Like, overall, it's really well done, and I was really excited to see that you have the same artist, the same colorer, the same letterer. It's going to give it, like, that kind of continuity from, like, volume one to volume two that, like, a lot of comic books really need. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, everyone is into it, and you can see that. It's a great creative team, and yeah, I mean, I want to keep doing it. The intention is, after the second miniseries, if we can build up the audience enough to justify the third series being ongoing, that's what I want to do. I've got big plans, and I'm really pleased as well with, as will become apparent in the first issue of the second miniseries, that the kind of world that's been created, because, as I say, that the position Ruby's in, which gets revealed in the Free Comic Book Day book, Ruby is kind of, though she is in some ways the focal point, she's kind of incapacitated, shall we say. So it gives the other characters a lot more quote unquote screen time, such as Summer, such as Pitbull, the jock superhero who was in the first series, and some quirky villains like the Cad, whose power is to fuck with girls' heads. And the League of Larcenists were introducing. They were a quirky bunch of miscreants who were trying to tap into the fact that Lightning Storm had trashed a lot of main points of authority, so and has also taken out two of their big superheroes. And there was only three superheroes to begin with. So they're trying to cash in and build their go from being the League of Larcenists to the Legion. And they're going to be the big threat of the miniseries, led by Pighead, who has a human brain, half pig, half human brain sewn together, and an attitude. He likes to give people comedy code names, like the guy that joins up who's had a vasectomy. They decide to call him Numb Nuts, and much to his chagrin, he's not happy with the whole Numb Nuts moniker. And then we've got Chromex comes in later, who's this sort of quirky robot that kind of talks a bit street and has its own agenda that may not be mutually the same as the League of Larcenists, ultimately.
He's basically like a criminal version of Hal from 2001.
if Hal was like a bit more ghetto, maybe.
I can't let you do that, dog. So you have like these crazy like cast of like characters, like, you know, some of them seem very, you know, Lightning Storm, like, is a very typical kind of, like, superhero villain. But then you also have, like, the crazy, like, the dude with the pig brain and, like, that sort of stuff. Like, what do you dive into to just come up with the wacky stuff?
Well, I've referenced before Grant Morrison's run on Doom Patrol is a big influence. And that's just, you know, it's out there. And I've sort of become accustomed to sort of thinking in like weird mode. I mean, like Mr. Mashup from the first series was quite a strange character as well. But yeah, I think it's nice to have a balance of like sort of regular and quirky. And yeah, the League of Larcenists, I think I've really enjoyed writing them. And there's, you know, a difficult dynamic to them, because ostensibly, they all just want to be this big shot crime thing. But I think, as we may have touched on last time I was talking about this on the show, this guy, Terry, who gets the unfortunate name landed on him, he's got a wife and kid. They don't live in Maine, so he's got to uproot his family if he wants to become a part of this league, and they basically treat him like some sort of tool. So there's different motivations going on, and as a Chromex has its own agenda and kind of falls into being a part of the league. And yeah, these two form a kind of bond. And you've also got, there's this like hot Hispanic chick that one of the leagues is kind of sleazing onto. So there's all this stuff going on within the whole let's be this big crime thing.
So I commute to work. Like, I have like a 40-minute drive, you know, to get to work and 40 minutes back. And when I was reading the part where he's trying to convince his wife that, hey, we need to move so that I can be part of this criminal organization, there was a part of me that was like, I mean, couldn't he just commute? Like,
well, yeah. The thing is, this is part of the problem. I mean, the Pighead and the sort of core members of the group are all in on this. And the fact that Terry's kind of half in, half out is partly why he ends up sort of getting on the wrong side of Pighead and being given this stupid code name. And yeah, he's in a peculiar position. Yeah, I mean, maybe he could just commute, but they're trying to, you know, be this big thing, so they don't really want someone that's going to be phoning it in.
I just love, like, I had this mental image of, honey, have you seen my keys and my laser pistol? Like, I'm going to be late for robbery if I don't get out of here in, like, five.
Yeah, no, it's a fun thing to play with because this guy, Terry, doesn't really seem like a sort of a bad guy. This is purely about the money, and he's leaving whatever morality he has at the door. Whereas, you know, Pighead is a bad guy. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic we've got there. That, as I say, when things play out, when the superheroes get involved, there's some twists and turns coming to it.
If you can build the audience big enough, like you had said, for the second volume, you want to do an ongoing run of Geek Girl. And I know sometimes, like for a lot of, especially for indie comics, writers will have a, like, kind of like an overarching, like, plot line that goes from like A to B in like 65 issues or something like that. Do you have something like that in mind, or is it truly like an open-ended universe to you?
I've got there is a sort of long arc that I've got in mind, which is partly the reason why I want to do the third as an ongoing. And in this, I'll be introducing another character of mine, Cara Cini, voodoo junkie hit woman, to the Geek Girl universe. And she'll be playing, she's so far appeared in, like, she's just appeared in HM Comics, had this anthology called Effects, and she's appeared in Halloween issues of that. But I've got a mini series for her, but I kind of want to introduce her to a broader audience in Geek Girl universe first. And yeah, the direction things go in the third is going to be quite different. But yeah, there is, though it is intended to be open-ended, I do have a definite story within the ongoing that does kind of need it to be more than four issues, ideally.
You know, I feel like when a writer has like more of a longer arc planned out, it makes those ongoing series so much more effective. Like, you know, we all love Batman or the Avengers or whatever, but those storylines, even like a long, you know, 30 issue run storyline, eventually it ends and then they're like, well, let's just keep going instead of like just letting it be the story, you know. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm disappointed when like Shudder is over, but I have a good run of it and it tells like this huge complete story. Like, that's always a lot of fun. So
yeah, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I want to do with Geek Girl, and I want to, you know, develop, like, at the heart of the series is Ruby and her best friend Summer's friendship, which had all been kind of positive so far, but things are going to take a bit of a hit in the second mini series. And as we'll see in the first issue, the big role that Summer plays, there's room with these characters for it to become, you know, not a team book, but as you'll see from the first issue, I'm really treading around trying to not give too much away, but
right.
the characters other than Ruby get a lot more screen time in inverted commas, as I say, and it's something I'm quite proud of, that I've, you know, got this kind of universe, and that it's not just this is Ruby's story and we'll tell that. There's a lot of things going on.
If you want to build a ton of suspense, I could ask Juan to just put some of those editing beeps in every once in a while.
Okay. I think I've got it. I think I'm well trained enough now to not throw big spoilers out. I just have to keep on it. Yeah. Because I'd say that the thing with the Free Comic Book Day thing is it's only when you've read the strip and there's a ad page that follows it that really, oh, this is what is going to be happening in series two. So I don't want to give that away before the reader gets to that point.
So I'm always curious about this, and I may have asked this in the last interview that we did, but it'll be fun to go over it again if I did. So how do you feel like being in the UK has like kind of influenced or like directed your book as opposed to like an American comic book? Because I think like writers like Alan Moore and Grant Morrison and stuff, they get away with like way quirkier shit a lot of the time than Americans do. Like, do you feel like that's kind of a part of being a writer from there? Or do you think that's just kind of the nature of your humor? Or I don't know. I'm always kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I think there is. I think when we mentioned this before, it's certainly not, you know, exclusive to like British writers to have you know, quirky characters and so forth. I mean, Eric Larson with a Savage Dragon has them by the bucket load.
Yeah, yeah, that is. We were talking about that book last night. That book is fucking weird.
Oh yeah, I've only recently got that. I used to follow it, and for whatever reason, I kind of lost it, and then I've come back to it, and it's fun, and his art is so dynamic. It's a fun book, but yeah, quirky characters. I think that, you know, there's maybe something about the British sense of humor, which, you know, I've been told the quote unquote British sense of humor comes through in the book, because, you know, the book is I'm writing this as an American comic. It's American characters. It's set in America. But I think as well, like going back to the type of British creators you're talking about, I mean, as I say, Grant Morrison being a big influence, and being a Scotsman, you know, he brings the fucking weird, and as I say, that's something I draw inspiration from. having said that as well, though, you know, the Doom Patrol I'm talking about is now Gerard Way steering the ship. Is Gerard Way American or Canadian? I'm not. I was never into My Chemical Romance, so I only really know him from this. But either way,
it's funny because I didn't realize he was in a band for a really long time. And right. Somebody was like, yeah, he's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. And I was like, yeah, he won Eisner Awards, so I don't really give a shit. Like, that's.
But yeah, so he's whether he's American or Canadian, I don't know, as I say, but he's, you know, he's that. And he's managing to really pick up sort of the Grant Morrison type stuff and bring his own things into it. And I'm really enjoying that book.
Yeah, his writing style is always really pretty much spot on. Like, Umbrella Academy is really good. So is Doom Patrol. So was Killjoys. Like, I pick up every book he puts out. So,
yeah, and we've got Umbrella Academy is coming to Netflix, isn't it? So that'll be worth looking forward to. And also, one of the guys in it is Robert Sheehan, I think his name is, who was in Misfits. I don't know if I've talked to you about that before, and if you're aware of it, but that was quirky superheroes, and he was brilliant in it. So that's a good kind of recommendation if he's in it.
That's I think that's on Hulu, if I remember right.
Right, okay.
That's because that's – so here in the States, a lot of the time, like BBC stuff or like just British TV in general will be on Hulu, where everything else is on Netflix. Sometimes we also have a lot of Canadian TV on Hulu, which is really odd. So I don't know.
Right.
total tangent. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, if I would recommend for those that aren't aware of Misfits, because it is actually getting a US remake, but I'd recommend seeking out the British one. It's really great. It's quite edgy and it's quirky and funny, and it's a good show.
Yeah, definitely always watch the original of a movie or TV show instead of the American remake, because the American remake is always sanitized and lowest common denominator.
The thing about it, though, that I'm hopeful it will be good, because they had to kind of change the direction with the British one, because Robert Sheehan, who I mentioned, like, left to do films, and then a couple of things happened. Well, another member of the cast got into some trouble in real life, so he wasn't able to do it anymore. So they had to change a lot of the characters. So now in the American version, they've got the potential to sort of stick with those characters and explore beyond, you know, where they were actually limited to going with the UK ones. So I hope they do a good job of it, because that's something I'd be really interested to see.
Nice. That would be awesome for them to be able to flesh out in a different way stuff that they were unable to do for extenuating circumstances, as opposed to like writing or anything. So,
and like, you know, as well, like British series only tend to be about 6 episodes long, whereas Americans ones are a lot longer. And like, you know, The Office, I absolutely love the American version of The Office. And that was, you know, I think the British series, if you put all the episodes together, is maybe like 14 or something. And that was, you know, 9 seasons, I think. So, and that, you know, they certainly did a good job with that.
Right. My kids are currently watching the full run of The Office. So I'm getting to rewatch all of those, and that movie or show does really hold up. So
oh yeah. I mean I've just rewatched it. I mean, Dwight Schrute is one of the best comedy creations ever. And the whole him and Jim dynamic is great. And yeah, it's a fantastic show.
Again, still a tangent, but I'm going with it because I just watched the episode where him and Andrea are going over their like child bearing contract. Oh my gosh, it's like the most amazing thing I've ever listened to. Just the weird stipulations, like, you know, he can't be named a Klingon name and stuff like that. It's so good.
Well, yeah, I mean, the climax of it, when the wedding, where they have to stand in their own open graves as they take their vows. It's
so good.
I mean, Dwight Schrute is something else. And like that character in the British version is it's not the same character. And Dwight, you know, with all his quirks and tics and everything, is somehow lovable, whereas the character that they kind of blew him out of, Gareth in the UK version of Office, is not likable and is no way near as batshit as Dwight is. So that's, you know, that's one where they've really, you know, taken it somewhere amazing that wasn't actually there so much in the original.
That's awesome. Well, Sam, let everybody know how they can find, you know, the current volume of Geek Girl that's out, and where they can go to find the free Comic Book Day issue, and where they can look out for information about the second volume.
Okay. So, I mean, you can still get Geek Girl Volume 1, Lightning Strikes is available on Amazon. You can also get it through www.geekgirlcomics.com. Though the second series will be print and digital. The free Comic Book Day thing is just digital. So the easiest way to get that is the free Comic Book Day Facebook group on the day. Yeah, and that pretty much covers it. GeekGirlComics.com again for you know, the second series when that comes out. I mean, the intention is that it will be, because we're obviously recording this ahead of Free Comic Book Day, the hope, if the stars align, is that when that comes out on May the 5th, that issue 1 of the second miniseries will then be available to pre-order. And if that's all set up with the various publishers, distributors and so forth, there'll be a link to being able to pre-order it in the back of the Free Comic Book Day book. The Free awesome. Comic Book Day book.
Well, that's awesome. I can't wait to read more Geek Girl. Like, it's a, like I said before, it's a super fun comic. Like, it's that perfect blend of like superhero and mean girls. And it's just a great little funky book. And thank you so much for being on the show with us again, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, this is Jeanette Goldstein, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hello, Hobie listeners. You don't know us, but we know you. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ian.
And we're the Pittsburgh Nerd Podcast, better known as the bad guys, the villains of the story, if you will. A feud that we didn't even start. It was started by Jason. All because he called us out. And we retaliated and such, because what did we say, Ian?
We got rings, baby.
That's right. We've got rings. And the feud escalated. And now here we are, the bad guys. So here we are petitioning today to be the 2016 Floppy Villains of the Year. And to hear just how villainous we are, check out our show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Satchel, and any other number of podcasting apps that you may find out there. Jeez, I can't even talk. That's how villainous I am. So there you go. Go ahead. give us a listen.
Go Steelers.
And we're back.
That's going to be fun
because it's only coming
through this one. So it's going to be super fun for him to do.
Are you giving me a hug?
No, I have.
Thinking outside the long box now with Hannah Coffee.
Dark Rust. Original.
Should have got her to do the and we're back.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have.
Shut up.
You're not on mic. No one can hear you.
Yeah.
Goddamn twinks.
I mean, it's one thing to watch when you're young, but that first time you catch your parents doing it, it is scarring.
I've never seen my parents do it.
Yeah, neither have I. My parents got divorced when I was 5, so I missed all that shit.
But I was smart enough to be like, I don't want to go into this room if I don't knock first.
Though. I did find my dad's porn stash, though.
I mean, I've heard my parents room, bro. Fucking.
That was enough.
I came home early from school once. I ditched. And, you know, my mom should not be home. Stepdad should not be home. I was going to sneak in through my window. I left it open on purpose because I know I was ditching. Sneaking through the window, opened the door, on the couch that I watched TV on. I was like, oh, God. I hope they listen to this because they don't know that.
No.
I immediately went back to my room, cried, and then went back to school.
Fuck this. I'm going to school.
No wonder your mom kept the house all fucking locked up.
Right? Now we know.
No, she's all, it was just I'm going to get that deep dick in.
Just orgies and orgasms everywhere.
Oh, man. I was mortified.
I'm giving Taco Tuesday a whole new meaning.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Oh, wow.
My favorite day.
It's like a holiday every week.
I almost spat my fucking orange juice out.
I love man. Taco.
That's funny.
Does anybody else have stuff, or do I just go down my endless list of notes?
So I was watching John Barrowman because he's amazing, and I saw a video of him yelling at Target. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. But apparently he bought some clothing for a homeless gentleman and a couple of things. He bought him a gift card and shit. And somebody at Target said they were going to have him arrested for doing so. And he was fucking furious. Like, I have the video pulled up, and I guess I can splice it in later, but it's just so funny.
I would
like,
be fucking furious. He was. I will buy whatever the fuck I want for whoever the fuck I want.
Let me see if I can pull
it up. Here, pause it really quick, and we'll watch it.
Well, I'll just bring it up so I could get your reaction.
But how do you even, like...
Hey, it's John here.
I don't know.
Here we go.
Hey, everybody, it's John here. I'm a Target on La Brea and Santa Monica in West Hollywood. I just bought a $40 gift certificate and a jacket and a shirt for a homeless person. And I was just lectured by the Target staff that I was not allowed to do that. Target... That's a stupid rule. How dare you tell me as a customer who I am allowed to buy for and what I am allowed to buy.
It's almost exactly what I said.
That was a homeless gentleman who needed some help, and you need to change your policies if this is what you think of being a good community member, because I'll stop shopping here, and I'll post for everybody else to stop shopping here. It's absolutely ridiculous, and every customer behind me thought it was ridiculous also. That gentleman needed help, a little bit of help to get him up, to make his day a little better. And Target, you were trying to deny that. So I'm a little pissed off with you right now.
Yeah, eat a bag of dicks, Target. Fuck that shit.
So then Target's like, holy shit, this guy has a lot of followers. We're sorry.
Who is it? I don't honestly know who that guy is.
What a bullshit policy.
Doctor Who, Arrow, he's the...
Oh, okay.
Shit. Yeah, cons. Yeah.
He cons all the fucking time.
Constantly. He was at Denver Comic Con for like...
Yeah,
last,
he was
like,
brought to Agul there for a little bit.
To be racist, but like a lot of older white guys look a lot alike to me.
Like, that's true.
Wow, okay, there we
no,
go.
No, but I mean, when they're famous and they're old, they got good skin. I don't know. Just I thought he was
got
good.
He's got a pretty good-looking, yeah, like husband. His husband's pretty good-looking.
His panel at Denver Comic Con...
Arrow, I do recognize him from Arrow that you say that.
Was like, was it last year or the year
2 years ago.
Was fucking phenomenal.
I was so sad. He's coming back this year, so whatever he's doing, I'm fucking going to this year. But
I don't think interviews during that because I want to watch it too.
I don't think that they know. I mean, obviously they don't. They probably didn't know who he was, so they were just lecturing him and giving him shit. And I love the power that these people wield on fucking like Twitter and shit, where they're just like, "All right, fuck you, then. Don't. I'm gonna tell everybody
to
stop shopping here."
8 million people, fucking.
hey, Target.
And then Target's like, yourself. Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
I bet Target doesn't even have a policy like that.
It's no. Target came out on their Twitter handle and said, I don't know why they did that. It's not a policy for anything. And they said they were going to send them to training and all that shit.
I bet that specific store has some kind of policy about it because they have like a lot of homeless people around the store. But even then, go fuck yourself. Yeah. Like, I will. You know
I'm sure they think that if you're going to buy something for this homeless dude, like homeless people are just going to keep coming.
Out. Yeah. I would literally just say.
But that's just California.
Oh, that's your policy? Well, guess what? I'm not buying the jacket for that guy anymore. I'm buying it for me.
Yeah.
Middle finger. Fuck you. Like, I do whatever.
It is a small, and I will wear it.
And he's.
That guy.
He's pretty ripped.
Yeah, I know.
He's pretty ripped, too. So it was just. It made me laugh. Like, shouldn't you just be happy that he spent probably $100, $150? Like, just be happy with that.
John Barrowman, good on you for fucking taking Target to task.
Fuck Target. Unless you want to sponsor TOTLB. Which you don't. But if you do.
If you do, we promise to not be racist the 2 to 3 minutes before and after you're at.
I make no promises. I don't know when Juan's going to put that shit in there.
What about host Tim?
What about host Tim? I'm a white dude, and I'm pretty safe from Target.
Target's never done
Target. I can go Chick-fil-A. I can go over the hell I want now.
You walk into a Target and they go, my people.
Oh, Lord.
They were probably, it was you, wasn't it? He was buying the shit for you.
Dude, I've worn like
my homeless Avengers.
I've worn like my red Spider-Man shirt in Target before, and people have come up to be like, hey, do you know where this is? I'm like, I don't fucking work here. They see a white dude in a red t-shirt, they must assume we all work there.
I go to Target or to Walmart after work. I have my polo that has the little Honda symbol on it, but I'm wearing slacks and I look dressed up, and I have so many people telling me that. I don't fucking know. Go ask somebody who works here.
It's like, have you ever seen the
never
flash
happens to me.
Me either.
Like, you got blood all over your shit.
Go to work with hand tattoos covered in beef cuttings. You work here? No, I don't.
No, man. What the fuck are you thinking?
You just say, yeah, I work in the kids department.
Oh, I love kids. I don't know. That love went really kids. Dark.
They're delicious.
My mind doesn't have a lot of boundaries, but occasionally something gets said by other people on this show, I'm like, God damn. I would not have said that.
Buddy, you're going to
be. Have you ever seen the Best Buy flash mobs where people wear blue polos and khakis and
just roam the store?
40 people go into a Best Buy dressed like that. And it just causes like bedlam because people are like, Do you work here? Nah. Does he work here? Nah.
I don't know. Why don't you ask him?
It would be funnier if they just pretended to work there. I can help you.
Yeah, I can help you. TVs.
This one's 100 inches. I don't know.
That one turns on. There's football.
Now it's curved. Don't know why.
Neither, because I hate it.
I hear they're expensive.
I
hate curved TVs. It's the worst.
What is the point of that?
I don't get it. I don't know.
It's supposed to be like surround, like you're in the fucking show or in the movie.
But only if you're sitting right in the like, right inside
it. It's fucking
like
hard.
If you're on the outskirts, you get like, I don't know.
The back of the fucking TV.
70% of TV. Yeah.
Stupid.
It's all the things you hate about sitting in the front row of a movie theater in your living room.
No, awesome. Yeah, that sounds like.
But like in super high def.
4K high def. That would definitely.
It's all the things you hate about Doyle pre-ordering movie tickets.
Except for in your own home.
Damn you, Metrolux. Fix that shit on your website.
Oh, man.
I think they have recently since fixed it, because I was looking at movie tickets before.
Ticks.
After.
Ticks.
We're using lingo here. Now there's a line on the seat, and it says screen here, and that wasn't there before. It was just seats. I don't think I had anything to do with that. I think it's probably just a coincidence.
And they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, they're like, oh, fuck.
Say they listen to the show.
They're like, oh, man, Thinking Outside the Long Box said something about it. We better fix that.
Said nobody ever.
I don't know.
It'll happen.
We've changed our life, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. So I start watching Ash vs. Evil Dead. I know I'm like way behind the ball. Fucking hilarious as fuck. His little cohort, the little Mexican dude. Yes. Super fucking funny. Like, I don't know that actor's name, but
he's very, very important the further you get into those seasons, too.
Man, he is.
How many seasons are they on?
This third.
Third one is working right
now. I think I've only seen the first and second.
Yeah. The third one's only like three deep, I think. Yeah. It's not that very far.
Holy shit, though, that show is funny as fuck.
It's perfect. It's amazing. It really is.
It is. I've always wanted there to be like an Ash versus Freddy versus Jason kind of, and they talked about making that as a movie forever. They talked about making like an Evil Dead, you know, 4 as a movie forever. I feel like having an episodic show on Stars is absolutely the best vehicle for that story. Like, it's about as perfect as it fucking
didn't have
gets.
To be Stars, but good though.
Well, it has to be on cable.
Like HBO, Stars.
Yeah, CMX. It has to be like
Showtime.
It has to be tits and swearing and over the top gore, yep. Or it doesn't count as Ash.
True.
Yeah. Tits.
I was sold on that show the first episode.
Yeah. It
that's how you do a show glide, not Legion or whatever the fuck it was.
I still dug it, but it was super fucking confusing.
Damn you. No.
You had me at
Yeah,
tits.
I actually really real quick, I really want to watch that show, but the first episode I wanted to wait till I heard what other people thought, because the first episode was confusing.
Weird. It was very weird, because it happens in so many different weird psychological places. It's fucking weird.
But now that I know that the guy who thinks I'm gay really likes it, I'll probably check it out.
Fuck John Still.
Nah. That guy.
We need a new fuck that guy.
Would I fuck John Still? John. Evidently, yes. Would he let me? I don't know.
He might.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
He's kind of a weird guy.
So
he'd probably let sugar tits fuck you
on camera.
Probably would too.
I would probably also let her.
No.
Netflix released a second season of The Stand-Ups. It's
that's a great show.
Like
too.
Each season is like 6 half-hour sets from different stand-up comedians.
It's cool because it's kind of like people you aren't super big, but they're really polished still. Like they're still really funny.
A lot of like people that have been on like At Midnight, and
they don't seem like new shitty comics. Like, even though I don't know who most of them are, like.
Like, what's funny is I would say I know about half of them when I'm watching them, and then the other half is always really, really solid, too. Like, the people that I haven't heard of, I'm like, oh, goddamn, that is super fucking funny. Like, but by far, the standout for season 2 is Kyle Kinane's set. Like, that dude is just the funniest son of a bitch, like, I think I've ever heard. He does amazing bits. Like, that guy is fucking hilarious. So.
That was the recycling bit, right?
Yeah.
that was really funny.
I highly recommend it. If you think we're funny, you're going to think they're funnier.
Because they are. They do it professionally.
We do it semi-professionally.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
yeah, bitch.
Them.
I'm getting press passes guys. To San Diego Comic-Con. This is fuck professional.
Yeah,
like the bench son of a
bitch. I'm gonna listen to things. Comedy. Yeah,
put me in, coach. Put me in. Shut up.
Just give me a chance.
Will this show come out before the Avengers?
When does the Avengers come out? This show will come out in two weeks.
The 27th that comes out.
April 27th?
Yeah, end of this month.
Gross.
I don't know.
That's gonna sound real good in somebody's headphones.
I'll edit it out. Yes, it'll come out the 22nd.
Oh, you guys want to do predictions?
22nd or 23rd?
Predictions for what?
For Avenger deaths.
So, side note, hold on. Before we go there, let's talk about this title bullshit. Because you had posted on Instagram and on Facebook about how they, you know, because he's been talking about it a long time. They don't want to give the title to the next movie because it might reveal it. And two people came and said it was going to be the Disassembled Avengers or something.
Which
would be the fucking worst non-spoilery fucking title ever. We all know shit's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
That's not a spoiler. Like,
the Civil War kind of already set that ground.
Like, that's not a spoiler. They're going to be disassembled. I get that. Like, that if that really is the title, fuck them.
I think it's going to be Infinity War's Death of Captain America. I think that's going to be
I want to see Captain America die.
Yeah, you could. Dude, the fucking comic book run is called Death of Captain America.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like comics are
Don't start with me.
A little different.
Dude, you could totally call it Death of a Captain America, and literally fucking everyone is still going to go see it.
Oh, no, I don't think it would hurt the rate. I just don't think they would do that.
Why?
I think they would hide it in some kind of innuendo.
Why?
It'd be like,
funeral. Typically, movies don't just go like, here's what the movie's about in the title.
Well, what if Captain America dies in the first one, and that's more of a how we get like, over it in the second one?
Like, I could see, like, cause that's life gonna after Captain America.
I mean, that could, you know...
Like, I think, after I think
Captain
he's,
America right. or something like
I
that?
I think he's going to die in this I first movie.
I do, too. I think either him or...
Or Iron Man.
Or Iron Man.
I think multiple people are going to die in this movie.
Mm-hmm. God, I hope so.
It has absolutely no stakes.
Top three.
I've said it for like the top since the fucking first trailer dropped. Like if Thanos doesn't kill somebody in this movie, they've literally pussified the character.
He's gonna kill somebody, bro. He's gonna kill Rhodey.
He's gonna kill a shitload.
I mean, Rhodey. I wouldn't be surprised if Rhodey dies in the opening credits. Thanos' ship just comes through, murks him while he's flying over the city.
Yeah,
I'm just like, Rhodey, he's dead.
No, again!
Motherfucker needs to learn how to fly.
I just think that would be the... If that's really the rumor, which two or three people confirmed that was a rumor, that's fucking horrible. That's a stupid name to protect.
That's a stupid thing. So let's do our... Yeah, our Infinity War death pool.
Oh, God, there's so many people in Infinity War.
Exactly. That's what makes it great. Movie.
So my top three is Iron Man, Captain, or Hawkeye.
Is this an or and, all three of these people are dying?
Or and, you know.
It's an and or.
In no particular order, these are the three people I predict to die.
They either all three of them or one, you know, one or two of them or whatever. So
just because Hawkeye is not in any of the fucking promo shit.
Yeah.
He's in like one of the posters, I think, and he's not in the trailer. And even like when he was like interviewed, he was like, yeah, I don't really know what's happening with my character. AKA, I probably know my character is going to be dying soon. Yeah.
Hopefully he didn't just buy a house somewhere close to the Avengers studio.
Ooh, yeah. Chandler Riggs.
How about you? Yeah, what do you think, Tony?
I think they're going to ice Nick Cage for real.
He is coming back, we just heard.
Who?
I think I just said Nicolas Cage.
You did.
Which is not what I meant to say.
I think you meant Samuel Jackson, yeah. Which is I was on board with you. I knew what you were talking about.
Why can't the character name come to my brain?
Nick Fury.
Nick Cage just shut him out.
Schrodinger's actor returns. <Yeah. laughs>
I think Nick Fury is going to die for real this time. I think Captain America's probably dead. I don't think Iron Man's going to die, but I think he's going to get severely fucked up. But I'll probably go with Hawkeye after that. I think Hawkeye's also going to die.
I'm going to say Captain America, and then I don't think Iron Man will die. I think he'll retire. I think he'll get beat up so much that he retires. Like crippled. Yeah, and then what's her name? Scarlett Johansson, what's her name?
Oh,
Black Widow. I think she'll die.
Mark the Widow.
And then somebody from the Guardians of the Galaxy. I just don't know who.
We're throwing a fourth pick.
Well, no, because Iron Man's not a real pick. He said retire.
I don't think he'll die. I think he'll just get too tired of it.
I forgot about Guardians of the Galaxy until you had mentioned that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not just the normal, but it's fucking all kinds of people. I think somebody from the Guardians will die.
I can see Drax, unfortunately.
Drax, yeah.
Because I feel like, because Gamora's too important, Star-Lord's too important, Groot's too fucking popular.
Same with Rocket.
Yeah.
I don't know. Drax is pretty fucking popular.
Yeah, but out of everybody, if you think to yourself, someone in Guardians of the Galaxy is going to die. If you look at the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy, Drax is like the only one that you can get rid of without fucking up the child marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's the storyline.
It's him or the shitty sister that's been... what's her name?
Oh.
Because in the comics, she's
Mantis.
The...
Mantis.
No. The Nebula.
Nebula, the blue one.
I could see Nebula having like the... I'm good now moment.
Well, she kind of had that in Guardians of the Galaxy.
In the comic books, spoiler alert, she's the one who like ultimately kind of overthrows Thanos in the whole comic book series because she gets the gauntlet somehow.
Who do we know doesn't die? Fucking Spider-Man's not dying because he's got another movie coming out. Doctor Strange, Ant-Man will die because he's got another movie coming out.
Thor's probably safe.
I think Thor could have died until Ragnarok was like,
and then they're like, holy shit.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we finally nailed it.
We made the best Thor movie, bruv.
Yeah, bruv.
But
so
I think
his own movie.
I think Iron Man retires because he just got engaged to Pepper. So I think that's kind of goes out of the way. And he might be, but.
I think it would be nice to see the Iron Man mantle pass to somebody
That's
else.
What I think is going
to
happen. I think it's going to be like beaten half to death. And it's going to pass to someone else.
I just don't think – I mean, if Hawkeye dies, like, is that really – I mean, at the climax of the movie is what I'm talking about. If Hawkeye dies, he probably dies early is my guess. But because it's not important enough for that to be the climax. It's not. It's not.
Which sucks because he's such a great character.
Yeah. Yeah. And off the backs of like the success of Black Panther, I think it would be
nobody will die in that from them either.
Time if they murked Black Panther, that would be crazy.
No, I'm not saying I'm saying what I'm saying is
because that is Black Panther is basically printing fucking money right
the
now.
The wife and the sister became way too popular, and he's not going to die. So
I posted on our Instagram a story that was all the individual character posters, things that I wasn't expecting. A fucking Shuri. Poster,
yeah, they're like she's fucking straight up because she's funny, she's hilarious,
and she's like ridiculously popular. Yeah.
So that's where I'm trying to go with this. I think if Iron Man dies, Shuri could be Iron.
Oh,
Heart.
That would be really fucking cool.
Now it's not canon with the comics because that would be Ray Williams. But so if Shuri picked it up in the cinematic,
I was gonna say nothing is really canon. Oh, like I think that would be cool as shit. By the way,
Mark Hulk either
a Wakandan Iron Man, that'd be fucking amazing.
I would watch
Wakanda
that.
Wakanda Man.
Wakanda Man.
Forever Iron Man.
That would be amazing. Iron Man and Black Panther just fighting together. That'd be fucking cool.
So I have picks.
You have picks.
Yeah. Dick picks?
Those two. I think Cap dies. I think most people think Cap dies.
Well, and it sounds like he's already gone on record to say that he's done. Like he's not going to do his contract
Why
anymore.
Why would you be done? My other two picks are kind of more deep picks. I think Wong dies from the Doctor Strange universe.
Technically died once already.
Well, yeah, Strange. That's why I'm saying it.
Like, he's on borrowed time.
I feel like literally. Wong probably dies. And he also got an individual character poster, which I thought was kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Like a secondary character on a secondary movie has his own poster. Like that's kind of cool. But that's why I think they put him front and center on this poster. Like when you know
to make you care about him a little
to
bit
make
more.
You care about him a little bit
and
more.
You know what, it would be good
remember
be
that good, you care about him.
Yeah. It would be a good catalyst for Doctor Strange to finally pick up the Supreme mantle.
Yeah,
and not
the
just
Sorcerer
be a sorcerer.
Supreme.
Yeah.
And then I think Vision dies.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, that would be a good one. He's in android form, and then I feel like there's like a 2-second clip where he just looks like a normal fucking
person.
Guy. So.
Yeah, that's what makes me think it. I think Vision might die, and like it may not be like a permanent kind of death because he's an android.
Yeah.
But I could see them using like a moment because Vision is like a super fucking sympathetic character.
Yeah.
And they can do it. Where he dies in the first one and is brought back in the second one in some other form.
He's like Jesus.
Yeah. And in 3 days, he will put the other Infinity Stone in his fucking forehead.
It's pretty cool that we don't know where this last Infinity Stone is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some people think it's in Heimdall.
Yeah, because he's all yellow.
I like that theory.
They have the Thanos theory
like
where
in
every
the sword or like in his
well supposedly in like the first
everything.
Thor movie, his armor that he's wearing has like a gemstone in the breastplate or something like that, and people think that's
maybe
might
that's
be,
it,
and that might be why he can see like
everything.
Well, and some of that has to do with the Thanos theory. So every time stone is supposed to be. With, like the T stands for where it was, the H stood for Heimdall and all those kinds of things. And so people are trying to figure out what that H actually stands for because that's the last one that we're missing. And so that's the biggest rumor is that he's the one who has it. But it's cool that you don't know where it is. That's pretty fucking dope.
I like it, yeah. Who's excited for it?
Well, obviously.
Dude, crazy excited.
What is this, like 10 years?
Yeah.
Like 10 years in the making?
Like
and the right way? Fuck you, DC.
Over a TLB viewing, but that shit just doesn't happen.
Like over a dozen movies?
You want to know why? Because you've got a fucking old man who wants to see movies at like noon so he can go to sleep at like 5.
Like 7. Like that is not an unreasonable time.
He wants to get out of the movie at 2 so he can eat dinner at 4 and go to sleep at 5.
Okay, you guys come in?
Legitimately, I have had dinner at 5 very recently.
Could you guys commit to a Sunday viewing the opening weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. That I would be way
he
into.
Has the week that he has Sunday off.
No.
Yeah.
You do that.
Because I have kids. I have my two babies. I wouldn't be able to do it until late. I could never do it until
what
late.
What if like one of my kids watched your kids? So
I would have to get that over with Alicia.
Okay, not commit, but you'll ask. Mm-hmm. I took the whole weekend off. Because I don't know when it's happening, but I'm going to watch. And I want to not be restrained. I did.
Can we go see the whole weekend off for Avengers Infinity War?
Also, just because I've been working.
Can we go see it at the Comedy Works?
Well,
no. We cannot. I refuse to have his fat ass fucking sitting on my leg.
Oh, is the Crest showing it? That'd be fucking badass.
I don't
probably
think so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Honestly, I want to see it in like big ass luxury.
I wonder why. So is there. I don't know how that works. Do they have to pay more money for shit like that?
A little bit, because they're not like part of a chain, and they typically there's like a deal worked out with a lot of the bigger chain movie theaters that say if we're showing a movie, smaller independent theaters can't show it.
Hmm.
And so what happens is they put, you know, obviously Avengers is there, all the big tentpole movies are there, whatever, and then they'll throw in like one art house movie on one screen to fuck over like independent movie theaters. Mm. Like, so they end up getting stuff that maybe has been out for a while or that didn't get like a run like in this area,
right,
kind of stuff. So, or like maybe you had to go to Fort Collins to see it, so they show it there. So
I wonder if I could pay them a little bit of money if they could.
Oh, I can't imagine what the screening rate
is. I wonder what that would be. Yeah.
Hit them up.
Huh.
That
would be cool.
Would be cool, but
you know them better, though. I can't just ask them. Just be like, hey, what's that? I would just ask, hey, what's the process like? Like, why couldn't you put it on here first? You know what I mean?
I genuinely think that there's like a rule that if like.
Yeah, but I want you to get past genuinely thinking to genuinely knowing.
But also, I would assume.
Tell me diddling for you? Yeah. Diddling right in. Diddling right in his face with a fucking closed fist, if you could.
I would assume, but I mean, I'm
come
assuming.
Come on, that was funny.
I'm not pretending like I know. It's probably too late.
Don't say anything. Yeah. You're just going to make, make it worse, you fat fuck.
I don't know.
Hey, you fat gay fuck.
Too fat to watch TV shows.
Buddy, if you were gay, I hear that you would be revered because of your bigness.
He has.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be easier to be gay. I could get that.
You could put
like
your
that.
Big. There's probably gay people listening going, no, you couldn't.
No. We heard you talking about shitting in a bag. You could not get dick like that at all.
Hey, with all the anal sex you people are having, you know you have you horrendous people. Shit stories.
Don't say you people. No, come on.
What do you mean, you people?
You know what's funny?
You know what I'm talking about.
A lady came in yesterday to buy a car, probably in her 20s.
She said you're
with her mom.
Like that.
No. Okay. With her mom, who I think is divorced with her dad,
yeah.
But they called the dad to come look at the car. And I come back to the table and they're arguing over who called the dad, who's the reason he's coming. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, yeah, he gets kind of sassy with you people. And I was like, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
She's
all
salespeople. And I was like, yeah, you might want to rephrase that the next time you say that.
You people got problem with brown people. Yeah. Huh?
I was like, what?
You should have just started berating the dad the moment he got in his vehicle.
He was
fuck you too, buddy. What?
He was a dick. And then the mom made it up, though. She was really nice after that. So he was a complete dick.
She made it up afterwards.
He was a complete dick just right from the beginning. And he's on his phone looking up NAD and Kelly Blue Book and shit. And the mom's like, don't worry about it. The daughter's a grown ass woman. She can make her own decisions. And I was like, you want me to wait for him? She's like, no, she's a grown-ass woman. If she wants to buy the car, she can buy the car. I was like, okay, all right. I'll start paperwork. I'm sorry.
Weird.
Okay, now.
Just talk.
Future. I don't know. Sorry. Turn me off.
Close the door.
Close that goddamn
future
door.
Future prediction. For the second Avenger, you know, the second Thanos whatever movie.
Avengers, Infinity War, yeah. Captain America.
Part Dukes.
Yeah. Part Dukes.
Dude, if they named it that Part because Dukes. It's like an actual homage yeah. to Hot Shots, that would be amazing.
Who do you think the Avenger or Super is going to be that actually takes Thanos down in that movie?
So,
or is it going to be like a cheesy, we all did it together? Because I think that would be...
No, I bet there's somebody like Iron Man was the reason in the end of Avengers.
Pull it off. Well, if like I said, if they stick to the comics, it'll be Nebula because she does it in the story. Yeah. And she, so far, they've kind of made her pretty fucking pissed off at Big Old Pops.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he was an abusive father.
Sounds like.
I love that scene.
They visually show that shit. Like,
she's like, I will fill a ship up with every instrument of death, blah, blah, blah. And then the other guy, what's his name, Kraglin's like, I was just thinking maybe you'd go buy a nice hat. Like, ooh, that's nice.
She's like, I want to murder the fuck out of my dad. I could see Vision being a big part of it, too. Like I said, like if he dies and then somehow gets brought back,
yeah,
he could be like some kind of like superior being to
Spoiler
Thanos.
Spoiler alert.
Like Jesus.
Finally get finalized and the Fantastic Four show up to beat off Thanos.
That's what I'm thinking is like if they could get the rights back to Fantastic Four and X-Men by the second movie,
it's got to pass regulation. That's the last hoop.
Fantastic Four would be... Oh, fucking amazing.
Boner inducing.
Yeah.
Look at him. His eyes, as soon as you said that, he's like...
Yeah.
Like what?
Turgid.
How great would that be?
That was from the diddling we were doing earlier.
Probably. So speaking of which, Dan Slott is picking up Fantastic Four. That's coming back as a comic book finally, so...
I feel like they're getting pretty... They're getting ready. Like, yeah.
Could you imagine an after-credit scene for this movie? And it's Captain America standing in, like, a Wakandan field. And the Human Torch flies by. And he's like, that looks familiar.
That would be funny.
That would be great.
Or Shuri is, like, in her lab. And she's like, hey, Reed.
Yeah.
You know, and she turns around and you just see like a hand, you know,
yeah,
what's up?
Just like
You know what's weird? After 10 years of doing this shit, people still get up when the credits start.
I don't get it. I watch people do it and there's a part of me that wants to just be like, sit the fuck down.
Well, I think they know. I think some people just don't give a shit.
Which is so like, weird.
Boggles my mind.
I will watch it online.
I mean, I saw Black Panther like three times in the theater.
I sat through the credits all three times.
Because it's cool to see Winter Soldier come out with the...
Yeah. He's still armless. I guess he's got like a blackish looking arm in the posters. That looks dope.
I don't know. It's cool. Off with a flipper.
Wow. Okay.
Man, I hope the mic picked that shit up because that was a weird ass noise.
Probably just uses his other hand. That's what I'm assuming.
So going back, Fantastic Four coming back as a comic book. Dan Slott on board for it. That was a huge deal.
Yeah, I mean, if Marvel can do Fantastic Four correctly in the movie and in the comics,
that'd be amazing.
It would be
like old Fantastic Four is awesome. It's like one of the few superhero groups that I actually like enjoy reading quite a bit. Okay. But lately, the treatment of it has just been,
I mean,
fucking hot garbage.
They're arguably the best team,
probably,
of heroes.
I would say
because everyone's pretty balanced. Nobody's really super overpowered.
It's like them or X-Men at their peak.
Yeah.
I don't think Avengers, but
like,
some people do.
Like Chris Claremont, Avengers. Yeah. Or X-Men, I mean. For me, it's X-Force. I fucking love the X-Force.
X-Force was good.
But that's just because it's all fucking ridiculous characters and with no feet and lots of pouches.
Pouch Man.
So totally shifting gears, I watch Curse of Oak Island because it's hilarious to me and fucking just I love mystery bullshit, right?
Yeah.
There is a new show called Curse of Civil War Gold, right? And it's these guys that are trying to get money from the dudes that do the Oak Island stuff because they think that there's like a train full of Civil War gold at the bottom of Lake Michigan. And there's this moment where they're trying to find a buried locomotive on the beach in Lake Michigan. And they dig like 7 feet down in the beach, but because it's sand, when the waves come in, the hole just keeps filling up with water. I'm like, you people are fucking morons. Like, have you never...
What do you mean, you people?
They are a bunch of stupid-ass white people. That is what I mean by you people. They are so stupid. It's amazing.
Read it out loud, Doyle.
Why? I'm not. I'm Mexican, bro.
What?
Where's my white hood?
It's a picture of the from us recording that I took, and Michael Kirk's like, "Where's Doyle's white hood?"
It's right next to your midget, Mike. Come back to the show.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna be like, "Who's Michael Kirk again?" Michael- irrelevant. That's what it is.
Oh
wow!
We haven't talked about the midget.
I was just about to say, you can't talk shit if you never come on the show anymore.
And I like you, anymore. Sir.
Yes, Mike. I haven't seen him.
Anyway,
in a while.
Curse of Civil War like Gold. It's really fun. Like, I love bullshit like that.
Can we backpedal for a minute?
Yeah. Can one of those shows be real? One time.
One time. I'm
just one fucking time. Dude, like, and we found the shit,
dude. So we were watching. We were watching Ghost Adventures like a couple days ago, which largely is a total bullshit show.
Oh yeah,
right?
It's like obviously. That Taps show that was on for a while.
Jesus, yeah. So they're in the basement of this place. And like all this kind of crazy stuff is going on, and they're like calling out the spirit, and it's responding that its master is Satan, and like all this crazy shit, right, is happening. I was like, as I'm watching the episode, I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. Like, this is, you know, it's kind of crazy and fun and whatever. And then there is like this boom that like shakes the whole building and like makes the lights upstairs go on and off. And I literally got cold chills. I was like, what the fuck was that? And like the dudes that are in the basement.
You know, they were shitting themselves.
Dude, they are running around screaming like bitches. One of the dudes literally runs behind like a counter that's in the basement and fucking hides behind it.
As if you could get away from Satan.
Dude,
so easily.
I guarantee you I would have shit my pants in that situation. But I mean, it is so loud and such an aggressive like movement that like the steady cams that they put on the floor fucking move. Like it could have been anything. It could have been something blowing, like a transformer blowing up or something like that.
I'm sure it was something.
But in that moment, it's like, what the fuck?
It's one of those perfectly timed.
I was like, the devil's gonna come out of this basement. Something this is gonna be sick.
Something Big Fats taught me is like, when shit really is the fan like that, you just accept where you're at.
You're like, this is how it happens.
You're not getting away from the Dark Lord by hiding behind the counter.
Well, dying now.
Maybe there's a salt trail or something in front of the counter, bro. Oh, you don't know.
The noise that shit made, there no salt's helping you with that shit.
Do you remember the
yellow-eyed demon?
Like, if there was a follow-up that was the equivalent of something that would happen in a horror movie after that noise, it would literally be the devil crawling out of a wall. Yeah. Like
murders.
Yeah, murders. Everybody's like hung up on chains and barbed wire.
You hear that air horn from Silent Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
And fucking walls are melting into rust.
Oh, it goes straight Hellraiser on you.
You just accept your fate.
This is going to hurt.
This goes with this real quick.
Do it.
Did you ever see The Fourth Kind?
Yes, I think so.
It's an alien abduction movie, but if you know anything about like demonic possession, it's a demonic possession movie.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to fucking do with aliens.
Yeah.
It does. Like, that's like typical demonic possession 101. But so movies don't typically creep me out at all because I just don't have that filter. So, but I remember I went and saw the movie alone late at night. At that time, I was living in a dorm room in CU Boulder. And I came home and I had a roommate who talked in his sleep.
Oh, fuck.
No,
and
thank you.
Nope. Dude, I opened the door, and he was sitting up in the dark, mumbling like oh, Jonah. And I was just like, all right, fuck that.
Park bench, here I come.
Just sleeping in the car.
No, I slept in the hallway. Like, just was like, I didn't go far, which is funny.
Fire in the sky.
It's like, I'll be 5 feet away.
This door will protect me.
I had a dude who, when 2 jobs ago, he came from Germany.
Yeah.
And we had a job together in California. We were staying in a hotel, and we had 2 queen beds. And in the middle of the night, he literally got up and started yelling at me in German. And he wasn't awake. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what the fuck's going on? And I could see, like, him waking up and being like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. It was fucking weird.
Yeah, dude, this guy had full-on – mostly he would just – talk under his breath, but if you acknowledged him, he would start having conversations with you.
I
completely bogus, nonsensical conversations.
Like right out of high school, I had a girlfriend that did that. She would talk in her sleep, and there were a couple of times, you know, where she would say something that sounded kind of like the start of a conversation.
Right.
And I would respond to her, and then she would say like nonsense back to me. I was like, oh shit, she's asleep. Like, this is weird.
Right.
You know the old buildings with the like the exposed heat pipes on the ceiling? We had those in the room. We had our other friend Travis in there. This is the first time I realized that this kid did this. He's laying in his bed. We thought we were having a three-way conversation. I guess he had passed out.
And he just thought you were having a three-way?
Conversation. He pops up, and he's like, oh, man, I forgot to clean the pipes. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, he was cleaning your pipes, wasn't he?
He was like, you know how Travis – I know this story sounds super gay.
The more you tell the story, the gayer it sounds.
He's like, you know how Travis
John
cleans Stills the pipes?
John Still's like, chop this, cut this, like, this.
Dude, here you go, John Still. I'm gay. No.
Cut that, loop it, add it to music.
Yep. Promo. Don't care.
So my minor backpedal, fucking Christ.
Like 20 minutes right? ago.
Yeah. So going back to the potential of Cap dying.
That was like 30 minutes ago.
Right? I totally spaced on bringing it up before, but who do you think it would be Bucky or Falcon to grab, pick up the shield?
Bucky.
You think?
I think Bucky. So. I think that's the way they've set it up. I think Falcon's a side character at this point.
He's not like he is in the comic book.
Kind of the token black guy. I mean, not to be.
I mean, except for kinda, War Machine, but yeah,
he's also a token black guy.
And Black Panther.
He's like two. He's not a token black guy though.
He's an actual black guy.
No, he's like the. He's like a full on prominent, probably one of their top guys.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. There's a shitload of black guys.
Yeah, but Falcon just seems like an afterthought to me in the movie. He's just there.
A lot of times he is.
Like, he's just not doing much.
He's hilarious in Ant-Man. Like,
yeah. He's hilarious whenever him and Ant-Man interact in all the other shit.
He's just, like, comically getting his ass kicked by Spider-Man. Is there normally this much talking?
That's funny.
So we want to take a quick break and come back for our pop culture classic?
Oh, God, I hated this shit. I like when he loves something. I just make him fake him out.
This is Mark.
And this is Zach. And you're listening to
Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliette Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
right, and then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time!"
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
Welcome back.
That was horrible. God damn it.
Somebody give
fucking
me an
Gabe.
And we're back.
Welcome back. What are we fucking in a fucking are you Jenny Jones or some
it's
shit?
Because that's how I start the interviews. Welcome back to the show on the line I have.
Welcome back. My name's Gabe. I really like my asshole rubbed.
This is Radio Hour.
Let's go with Jerry Springer. Come on.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
And the father is
Doyle. For sure.
It's going to happen one day. Some little Mexican baby is going to show up on the. Well, probably older.
Little Mexican baby?
Probably pretty big. Genetically speaking.
Came out of the womb 20 pounds, 300 ounces.
My daughter was huge when she came out. She was 10. She was over 10 pounds, and she came early. And now she's
early? 300 early.
Well, they say it like that to not embarrass and fat shame the baby.
And now she's a little. Now she's a little
you
twig.
Had a fat piece of shit baby.
Your baby, fat piece of shit.
Wow.
That's what you want.
You didn't have a baby.
You
had a
fat baby.
So we're talking about. It's our pop culture classic. We're talking about 1999's Office Space. Writer, director, Mike Judge, who is famous for Idiocracy and King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead.
I hated King of the Hill.
Is that a real fact?
Absolutely hated
that
show.
That's weird to me. Anyways.
You're the first person I ever met.
I like Beavis and Butthead.
Stars Ron Livingston, Jennifer Aniston, David Herman, AJ, I'm not going to work here anymore.
Goodbye.
Diedrich Bader and Stephen Root, who can literally play like any person. If I didn't know that was Stephen Root, I would have no idea that that was Stephen Root. So
some sort of fact or something.
It is a fact.
As for new salt on drinking, there was huge grains of salt.
Tim was telling me last night that Swingline had to make a red stapler. They actually didn't make red staplers.
Oh, weird.
But because of this movie, it was so popular
It's right here. The iconic.
Everybody came in looking for Red Staplers.
The iconic Red Stapler, coveted by Milton, was created for the film by the prop department. They needed a bright enough color to be seen on film and chose red. After the film was released, Swingline began to receive requests from customers for Red Staplers. Having stopped offering red several years before, they made the decision to start offering the color.
He single-handedly brought them back from the brink of fucking bankruptcy.
Can you imagine the old executive at Swingline? Like, why the fuck do all these people want Red Staplers?
we're actually gonna get to that a little bit. The PC load letter scene where he's like, PC load letter, what the fuck does that even mean? So that was ad-libbed. He had other lines to say to Ron
Livingston. And it wasn't working?
But the printer actually broke and said PC load letter, and that was like his organic reaction to the printer was like, what the fuck is this thing? Which I think is amazing.
Kind of makes that scene. Like, I'm curious to know what else was supposed to be said, but that's so perfect
that it doesn't matter. And then this is the one that kind of comes back to yours. The movie's incredible 2000 success on home video, where it not only made much more money than it had in its theatrical release and earned enough to make the film a nice profit, but also outperformed higher earning films that had come out from 20th Century Fox that year, was such a surprise that the studio wasn't initially aware of it. The then head of Fox's home release division was told of this phenomenon while doing an interview about it with Entertainment Weekly, didn't know the specific dollar amounts, so he looked them up on the internet and was so shocked that he told the magazine, quote, "That's really amazing."
Like, what the fuck? I'm so rich, I didn't realize how rich I fucking was.
No, so like the movie was the movie was such a flop in the theater it was like such a non-issue in their mind. And as soon as it hit video, everybody's like, holy fuck, I work with those people. And
But that money had to be coming in, you know what I mean?
Right, but they just weren't thinking about it. It just comes in as like residuals. Like, you got to think about it. It's the money, like the way money is coming in for home video is very different than the way it's coming in from the box office.
I guess I just don't know, because it's still over the course of a year. I imagine millions of dollars. Think about it like this.
The box office is coming in week after week. You can look, this is our ticket sales, this is our ticket sales, this is our ticket sales. But if you look at how video is, this Walmart sold 20 copies of it. That's not a blip. It's literally the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
This place sold 20 copies of it. This place sold 5 copies of it. This place sold 3 copies of it. It's all these little tiny increments where they're getting like $10 in profit from this place and $4 in profit from this place.
I could see how you could not realize where it was coming from. But you think you would realize that millions of dollars are coming in?
But it's 20th Century Fox. Millions of dollars are always coming
in. I just want that problem, so I'm saying. Right?
Keep in mind, if you're the owner or you're on the board, you probably have other people looking at these numbers first, and then you meet maybe quarterly. So you probably don't really know until it's like, holy shit. Like,
especially when you think about it, like, you know, they're getting a little bit of residual from over here and a little bit from here.
Right.
A little bit from here, and those little tiny increments all of a sudden add up to $305,000 in however many cents.
They're making money all the fucking time. Yeah. And then when somebody's like, wait, this movie that tanked in the theater is what's generating this profit right now? The fuck?
Yeah. It's awesome. Like, it's one of the real like cult classics. But okay, so
you know what's weird is cult classics like that, I think, are really going to die. Like, because unless I keep showing it to my future generations, like, those kinds of movies, nobody's going to know what The Office is in 10 years, you know what I mean? Except for old people, which is you. But you know what I mean? Just that type of movie.
There was
like
a head nod in my direction for our listening audience that can't see that he's shaming me.
But honestly, I don't think that's cult classics. I think that's just movies. Like, when you look back 50 years ago, the number one movies in the box office, probably people don't know what the fuck they were at all.
Well, it's just like, so this week was an anniversary, I think the 25th anniversary of the release of 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
The movie that won Best Picture that year was Oliver.
Yeah, it was not 2001.
Is not 2001, A Space Odyssey, because people just didn't get it.
But at that point, Oliver was like a huge movie and everybody fucking loved it. Like, this is the same idea. Like, when this movie first came out, some people went to the theater, especially critics. You think about what like a movie critic's life, job life is like. It's not like this. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't work in a cubicle with a bunch of fucking douchebags.
That's what we were talking about earlier with Steve Dave.
Yeah, like it's just... The people that are movie critics live such a different life that they maybe don't have that interaction with the Milton or the O-Face guy or the boss that needs them to come in on Saturday.
Yeah. You know what? We lost some people. We kind of need to play catch-up.
That happened to me come this in week. Sunday.
Exactly.
I went to work and they were like, yeah, kind of got to stay forever. 12-hour days all week.
Hey, that happened to me this week, too. They needed me to come in on Saturday.
I'm
going to
burn this place to the ground.
I don't want to say nothing, but I usually average about 60 or 70 hours at work, so fuck you guys.
Dude, I got like 140-hour paycheck.
I don't ever work, but I'm at work.
I do, asshole.
Yeah, the difference between your 60-hour work week is that you can work on podcast stuff. If I have a 60-hour work week,
I can't, I'll get fired if I'm doing anything else like that.
It's just it's funny. Like it's funny the way things like this happen. Another movie that
I don't think there are many spaces like that anymore. You know, everybody that does have an office now, it's they're like 21st century.
Oh,
to have a.
We literally have that printer in my office. It's Xerox. Fuck you, Xerox. Literally, we've been on the.
Unless
script.
You want to sponsor us, in which case, no, still fuck you. I hate those.
Unfuck you a little.
So at the plant, I don't know how many Xerox printers there are. A lot. And we're at the top of the script to get a new printer. Have been for 3 years. Fucking send a printer, Xerox. Every 2 or 3 weeks it breaks. We're sitting there fucking with rollers, putting new pins in, getting the maintenance kit. Well, I don't even know why we have maintenance kits. Nobody knows how to fix the motherfucker. And then this old dude comes down. He's like, oh, yeah, looks like this again. And I'm like, new printer, asshole. Like, you know how many trees we kill in this office? I need an updated son of a bitch.
So when I worked at State Farm, like, this literally was my job. Like, if I made a mistake, 4 bosses told me about it. Like, I had to go into meetings with upper management where I, like, literally had to justify, like, what I do every day. Like, it's just it's the weirdest sensibility. But
I just don't think that those are around as – I guarantee they're around. I just don't think they're around as much anymore. Well, you know, a lot of bosses now, you don't have to report like that. You don't – it's – I don't know. I feel like just the office space has changed so much.
I don't know. I have, like, 5 supervisors every morning that want to talk to me about shit.
I think part of it, and this isn't meant to be like, you know, a slight or anything, but I think a part of it is you've been in sales for such a long time that there's a lot more freedom with what you can do with your time. But like, even in my job, which is like a manufacturing job, like there's somebody breathing down your neck about something almost all the fucking time. And like whether it's like cubicle space like this, or whether it's like, you know, manufacturing space or like restaurant space, like the movie Waiting is office space but in a restaurant. Yeah.
So
like,
good.
All of that, like we were – Ashton watched
so
this with
angry.
Us. It's so veiny. Ashton watched this with us last night. And there was a moment where I said, Ashton, you need to put this into your brain, because at some point in your life, you will literally work with all of these people. Mm-hmm. It may not be in a cubicle like nightmare like this.
Yeah, we don't cubicles.
But you will work with a Milton who's like so socially awkward that he's like you avoid him at all costs. You will work with the boss that's like trying to be cool. What's up, man? But it's really, I need you to come in for another 15 hours this week, you know. And you will work with, like, the dude that gets hit by the truck that's, like, panics about fucking everything that happens at work.
It's a jump to conclusions, Matt.
That made me so angry I just broke this chair.
Such a stupid fucking idea.
I love too that he's all, one of my favorite parts about the jump to conclusions map is that when he tells the idea to those guys, they have
no remorse.
Crushing his dreams. Like
that is a
fucking horrible
idea.
Why are you fucking talking about this still?
The writers of this movie are so underappreciated. Oh, how do you even come up with that?
It's Mike Judge. So if you read about it, so the Milton character is based on a dude that Mike Judge worked with. Yes. Okay, Mike Judge.
Like, the characters make sense, but the jump to conclusions, Matt, I'm like, God, that's such a genius.
But you know somebody.
Genius invention.
Somebody in some office somewhere was like, I have this genius idea that's going to make me $1 million, and said that sentence to him. And he just didn't have the heart to be Michael Bolton in that situation to go, that is a fucking terrible idea. Because when you work in like these kind of office situations, some people say stuff like that and you go, you go, yeah, that's a great idea, because you don't want to interact with them anymore. You just want them to go away.
There's a dude in my office. I won't mention names in case randomly he listens to this. But he...
You probably can't pronounce his name anyway.
I can, actually. He's Mexican. But anyways, he's really violently, like, minded, like, the way he says things. And one day he's like, yeah, my cousin got in a fucking car accident. Dumbass is dead. And I was like, okay. And ever since then, every time he talks, I'm like, all right. Oh, you have no soul.
So there's a guy at my job that I like him. I like having conversations with him. But sometimes I'll be in the middle of something, and he'll come up to me and talk to me about, like, the randomest thing. And, like, normally I'd be super interested in it, but because I'm busy, I find myself in the, yeah, that's cool.
Totally.
Yeah, it's great. I know exactly what you're talking about. And, like, I hate to do it to him because, like, what he's talking about is typically very interesting, but I'm busy and don't care about fucking complicated math right now. Like, holy shit, stop talking to me right this moment. I will come to you when I'm ready to have this conversation about what you listened to or what you watched. I don't know. When I worked at State Farm, I was the worst employee because I was Ron Livingston's character, but with a, like, horrible wife. So it was like this combination of I don't give a fuck about this job and somebody calling to yell at me like every other day. So I was just like, oh, it's the worst. I was a character in this movie.
I tell all the people that work for me, I was like, you have to simultaneously not give a shit, but also do the best possible job that you can to survive here. Because people call in constantly. You're constantly getting bitched at. But you have to perform, and if you don't, it's just like this fucking movie. I literally have three bosses. Every night I send out like 16 different reports that all say the same fucking thing, and then I go sit in a meeting and explain the reports that I just fucking sent out, and then I get to go home sometimes. But it's like – and people come in and they start bitching about their job, and I'm like, you have to not give a shit, but you still have to do a good job.
So,
but you have to not give a shit.
So right? also at my job, there's this dude that's like, he's complaining. Like, and everybody's worked with that guy where, like, nothing's good enough. Yeah. Everything annoys him.
I've got like five of those at my fucking post office.
So he's super complainy. He's a nice enough guy. But the dude that did my job at night before the newest guy, everything that, you know, this is fucked up. And he was also complaining. So he'd be like, yeah, it is fucked up. And then they would like just keep going. And it would like circle up and up and up until they were like not just angry at the situation, but also angry with each other. Right. And it's funny because the new guy that's there, you know, this guy will be like, oh, this is fucked up. And he goes, and it totally diffuses the situation. Right. Like it's that exact same thing. You have to just like not give a shit. My job is my job. I go to do my job. If you have a problem with your job, bro, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, man.
Like the one guy that complains a lot at my office, because he's an overachiever.
Yeah.
And then he complains that he gets more work. And I'm like, you can fuck quit.
Or just work less hard.
Yeah, or just work less hard. Like, I've told him, he was bitching the other day. I was like, you've got no one but yourself to blame for how much you're getting fucked over here.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to keep taking advantage of you the more times you say yes.
Yeah. If you commit to doing extra work, that will become your regular work duties.
That's this.
you are that guy. You're the overachiever in the office. So
This has just devolved into what we hate about our jobs.
This is what the movie
is. What the movie is. Okay, so Tim and I were talking about this. In the movie, who do you see yourself as?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. Who do you see me as? I don't know.
Milton, for sure. No, I'm just kidding.
Juan's totally a Michael Bolton.
I think Juan's a Michael Bolton.
I can get on board with Michael Bolton.
And then who did you say you were?
That was, what's the main guy's name?
It's Ron Livingston's character. Right, I never
so remember. The main guy and his neighbor.
Yeah, that's kind of where I that, landed.
That's me.
I feel like that's Ron Livingston's character at the end of the movie.
Right.
Like where he's just like, fuck this. I'm going to just go do a normal people job.
Right.
Fucking A.
So stupid. I hate that fucking line, but it's gold.
It's like the best line. Are you kidding me?
Fucking A.
Because the one guy's like, fucking A. He's all, fucking A. He like enunciates it all weird. And like,
because then I will literally message you, hey, Gabe, check out these tits.
When he's sitting there with his new girlfriend on the couch, hey, turn on channel 9 again. It's the breast exam.
Can you just come over?
I won't tell anybody, dude. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, he's cool. He's cool.
How about you? Who do you think you are in the movie?
I don't know, honestly.
He's Naeem in a jar.
Yeah, I think I resonate the most with that character. Or who's the guy who's like straight punching the printer with his fist?
Michael Bolton. That's Michael Bolton. Yeah.
Dude, that moment I resonate with. But I'm just like, I get like that every about 3 months at work. I just lose my shit. But I typically walk around the yard with the fucking trailers.
He's the one telling everybody wear flair.
Oh, no. No, he's not anywhere near that much of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, choose to
I don't
do
even
more.
Wear proper PPE at night.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't even wear fucking safety.
You're all fuck safety. I don't care if I die.
They're like earplugs. Fuck it. She needs to hear
what?
Earplugs. Yeah, I get it.
If I die on the job, insurance pays out.
If
double,
I die,
so.
I die.
So this is what's funny to me. Every
Lumbered
time
myself.
Every
if I die. I doff myself, man.
Like, I doff myself.
Doff myself. Good God.
He dies, he dies.
If I die, I die. Fuck it. I don't fucking care anymore.
So every time I talk about this movie with other people, nobody ever says, I feel like I'm one of the other characters in the movie. Like, it's always one of the main characters. It's never like, I feel like I'm Milton or I feel like I'm Lundberg.
Well, nobody's gonna say that.
Or I feel like I'm the O-face guy or I feel like I'm the tchotchkes waiter. But sometimes, like, and I'm not talking about you guys.
Right.
But there's definitely people,
you know,
yeah, they're like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, the Michael Bolton character. I'm like, nah, you're the tchotchkes dude. Like,
you're the fucking high-strung tchotchkes.
Get a room. Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes at my job, I do feel like the boss character when I have to, like, pull people out of the office occasionally. I'm like, I need you to come talk to me. Yeah. How are you feeling about your position here? I have to have those.
Would you?
I've
would
had
you
to have those before too?
Would you want to be at home with your family more?
That is a great way to fire somebody. By the way,
the same guy who like doesn't care about his family at all is terrible at his job. He's really slow. So I keep doing shit. Like I'm like, do you think you would like working on a palletizer more than you like being in the office? No, he's going to say yes. But I'm like, you fucking don't know how to use a computer, you simpleton. But I can't say that shit.
Just here. This is a safe space.
Yeah. You're just like, I don't have the crayons and construction paper to explain this job to you any easier.
Dude, this dude, he's been in about a month. He fucks off. I kept track one day. Every time he left, every time he came back, we're in the same office. 4 hours out of the 8-hour shift, gone. I don't even care anymore because he just didn't do anything. I'm just like, he's off wandering around.
That's literally Peter's like, so what do you say you do? It's like, I'd say when I clock in, I spend at least an hour
just zoning out. It's such a great line. Yeah,
it's like, I just stare at my desk for like an hour. And I usually do it again when I get back from break.
I love that.
Yeah, I was at work.
I would say in a regular work day, I do about 15 minutes of real work. And I've totally had that job where I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out how to stretch out 15 minutes of work over 8 hours.
Buddy, I was at work for 12 hours yesterday, work two.
Yeah.
Every fucking security job I've ever had when I first moved here, it's like, this is 8 hours of my life.
gone.
Gone.
Yeah, I don't know how those guys do it. The security people where I work, they just stand at that desk.
Dude, the night shifts.
Signing people's names in. I'm like, you can't love what you're doing with your life.
So I'm, like, one of my closest friends, a guy named Kyle, like, I was his supervisor on this night shift, and it was his first night on the job, and we were like maybe like 15 minutes in, like most of the staff had checked out, and I pull out my laptop and I just start playing World of Warcraft at the security desk, and he was like, and I looked over and was like, you can do whatever the hell you want, bud. I'm not going to tell on you. If you want to do patrols, that's fine. We don't really have to leave this room for the next 9 hours if you don't want to. It's like, so I'm going to play World of Warcraft for the next like 8, and then I'll probably close it up an hour just in case the supervisor shows up early for tomorrow.
That's like, awesome.
That's just like, this office jobs are so fucking boring, man.
So, round the circle.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs way the fuck up.
Yeah, it's a super good movie.
Thumbs diddled straight up my ass. It's so good.
That was Tim's thumb.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Tim's thumb. And then it came out my mouth all Human Centipede style.
Oh. Oh, so let's have this conversation really quick. Would you rather be somewhere in the middle or end of the centipede or the front of the centipede?
Front.
I think front.
That's what I said.
Front's the only option.
Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with that.
It sounded like you disagreed with me.
Where it came up, though, was would you rather be in the Human Centipede or one of the torture victims in Hostel? And I was a little torn, mostly because I don't want someone to take my eyeball.
I think I'd be okay with Hostel because at least you get tits first.
No way. The front of the centipede actually gets to eat real food, though, and not poop.
Oh, yeah, the very back of the centipede is still sewn.
Yeah,
I was like, do they close off the back? Is like the back the fucking in the butt?
What?
You got to put a stopper on the centipede, I assume.
I don't think so.
No, you just let the poo come out the end.
Yeah, because the very last guy's eaten like twice regurgitated shit.
Dude, more than twice, isn't there?
Well, then even the first guy was only getting
movie. Yeah. But the first one, there's only like three people.
But, like, even the first guy was only getting like dog food. He wasn't getting.
But he was still getting food and not poop.
True. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but that was just at the beginning. You don't know. That dude might be collecting the poo to feed to the front.
Oh, that would be fucking
You
horrible.
Definitely don't want to be the middle.
The middle's the worst. And I definitely agreed with that. Middle's the worst. Because you're eating it and you're putting it in someone's mouth, and that's just fucked up.
Wait a minute. Is it really? Like, so you're still getting poo in your mouth, and you're pooing into someone else. Is pooing into someone else's mouth worse than just pooing?
Yeah, well, I mean, psychologically.
Because like, yep.
I would kind of want someone else to go through what I went through. Like, at the end of the chain, you're like, it's just coming out of me.
You're like, if I'm suffering, at least someone else is suffering.
Eat my shit. I ate his shit. It's a doggy-dog world.
I think in general we can just all agree that none of us want to land.
Or in the hostile universe.
Become a walrus. Like those move.
Oh yeah, I don't want to be a walrus. A, because we would make no money at the box office, and B,
and B, people wouldn't even try to save me from being a walrus after they rescued me. They put me in a fucking animal farm. What kind of bullshit is that?
We're over in Hostel 2. The first character to die is from Baltimore, so I don't know. I don't want to be in either.
So
we're watching Gods Must Be Crazy, I think,
right.
next.
Next up is Gods Must Be Crazy.
I cannot wait.
And then after that, we're doing the reading of From Hell and watching
God,
the movie.
That book is fucking huge.
Have you started
it? A little bit, but so it's fucking huge.
It's actually a fairly quick read. Like, yeah. I pulled it up on my Kindle, and it's going pretty fast, so...
I mean, I don't know what you like to read specifically, but I think you'll like it.
I like everything.
It's like a crime book, basically. Yeah.
I like it a lot. Cool.
I like to read everything.
But Gods Must Be Crazy, and then From Hell, and then, let's see, I got the list real quick.
Bring out the list. I can't wait for Gods Must Be Crazy.
Then after that is going to be Jason's turn.
Again? Okay.
So
I'll reach out.
We just need to find out from Jason. But if you have any comments about Office Space, Gods Must Be Crazy, or From Hell, like, get them in now, and then we can get them onto the show.
I feel like not a lot of people have watched Gods Must Be Crazy.
Probably not. Like,
I didn't even know what
think,
the fuck it was. Until
I think a lot.
It's fucking amazing. I can't wait.
So this is what I think.
I hope so. this is your pick,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who introduced you to this movie?
My family, randomly. See, okay, like, it was so weird.
My dad
fucking loves the movie.
My dad loves this movie, too. So what I think it is it's the generation before us. This was a super popular movie. And then a bunch of people kind of our age got introduced to it by their parents. And then I never made my kids watch it because it's just so dumb that they're going to be like, what the fuck like is
he,
this?
He
like,
quotes the second movie a lot. Just randomly, we'll be doing something and something will be scary. And he's like, oh, it was like that one time where the truck went and the guy was with the lion and shit. It's just so stupid. I'm like, that's funny, though. I like it's where awesome. You're going with it.
Honestly, I think this is like honest to God truth. I think the first time I watched it, I just stumbled across it on TV, and for the first 5 or so minutes, I thought it was like a Discovery Channel. And it just started getting funny. I was like, what is this?
Oh my God, that's so fucking amazing.
But like, then it just started becoming comical.
You're
and
like, oh
it.
Man, Nat Geo really let himself go.
I was pretty young. I just remember I was like, all right, they're in Africa. It's a bottle. Oh, dude. What the fuck?
I'm pretty excited to watch this movie. I don't think I've watched this movie since I was Ashley.
Oh, it's like, amazing. I it's can't fun. Wait.
It's been at least 10 years since I've seen it.
Minimum. Like, probably more like 20, 25 years.
Oh, I got to read Jason Shit. I got to find it.
Jason Shit. Here comes the super analytical breakdown of Office Space.
No, it's actually not that big. Oh, okay. So go ahead and
I actually kind of wanted to talk, hear, like, a super analytical
talk a little bit about something.
Space.
So
talk.
So let's talk about Mike Judge's other stuff.
Oh, I found
let's do it.
King of the Hill. I hate it.
Which I fucking love.
Fucking can't
I know,
stand
like,
that show.
I have a hard time.
Cannot stand
Why
that show.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. I just don't think it's funny. I just, dude, it's funny. Some of the pretty, dumbest fucking shit. I can't.
I don't know you. That's my
get into it.
Propane and propane what? Accessories.
Like, that's not funny to me. I don't.
Get off my purse. I don't know you.
A bunch of rednecks just don't make me laugh. It's just not that funny.
You love the old still radio.
That's one redneck, not a bunch of rednecks.
No, it is a bunch of rednecks.
Usually two to
like,
three.
Fucking like three or four of them. They're all like, well, moonshine, Doyle's a faggot.
Yeah,
no. You're one of them brown faggots, ain't you?
That's all right. Not a lot of us.
That is 100% not true.
I know it's not.
Okay, but
no, I'm not going to say the sentence I almost just said.
Don't do it.
Jason Wells.
I'll tell you later.
Jason says, Wells.
About the dick being brown?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought
it had probably been 10 years since I watched this, and as much as I remember liking it, I forgot how freaking funny it is. Curious to see what others think, and maybe it's a Gen X thing, but this movie still resonates.
There are very few movies that make me laugh out loud as much as this movie does. That is for sure.
Dude, like, between the three of us, even Ashton lit the fuck up when he gets down and just starts bare fist pounding that fucking copy machine.
And they do it like such a gangster movie where he backs up and slips around in the guts right? of it. Like, you know. And
like the little cards
like
dragging, and wires and
he's
shit.
He's like dragging pieces of it with him like they're intestines or something. It's fucking hilarious, dude.
Die, motherfucker.
It was very well done.
Back up into your ass with that resurrection.
I'm Ben Templesmith, and what gets my nipples hard is thinking outside the long box.
Everybody, it's Clyde from the Old Still Radio Show, and this is why you need to listen to us. Number one, we may not be the biggest podcast out there.
I like being the underdog.
But we are one of the best.
It's magic. Yeah. It really is.
Secondly, we have a southern charm, and we tend to make a lot of sense.
I mean, he can't molest anybody when he's dead.
Right. And I hate to tell you people, we're pretty fucking funny.
Is that hilarious? Yeah.
But let's not forget about our most important part, the weather girl.
Never talked about the weather. You're the weather girl. Nope.
That's sugar tits for those who don't know.
It's not hilarious. Welcome. That's going to get you cut.
So if you haven't gotten a feel for it, this is what the show is like, and we invite you guys to come out and check us out. We are the Old Still Radio Show with number two, Preach, Clyde, and Sugar Tits. Find us at www.oldstillradioshow.com or on Facebook at Old Still Radio Show, or on Twitter at Old Still Radio. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. So, yo, come on out and check out the Old Still Radio Show. We guarantee you're going to have a good time.
No, the moment has passed. But we are recording again. Whoa, shit, bro.
It's the
Some shit's about to happen.
If there's a loud boom, I'm fucking out of here.
I'll stay here.
Toto's like, I accept my fate. Whatever happens next.
Totally gonna pod the end of my life.
Holy shit.
Oh, God.
My mother had such hopes for me. Oh, said I'm going to die in Gabe's basement.
Oh, you wouldn't be the first.
Let alone mere half block from where I grew up.
So funny. Oh, man. Speaking of a half block from where you grew up, I was driving down the alley yesterday, and your mom was talking to somebody in the car, and I think your sister was there. And as I drive by, your stepdad just gave me the fucking hardest stare. I'm like... Dude. I'm just driving. Like,
what's weird?
You people got to drive down the alley, you fucking...
I know, you asshole!
What's weird is he's actually become, like, pretty mellow and he's super nice, but for some reason with strangers...
He hates people that drive down the alley, dude.
Well, he has those old people, that old person tick.
Yeah.
It's like...
That old person dick?
Why are you driving down my alley?
It's the alley for some reason.
Bro, fucking neighborhood.
Dude, it's so weird.
Oh, he's like a hardcore nom vet, too. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Name?
Yeah, he fucks some shit up.
Oh, man. So my old man pick is pretty, pretty... Not crazy exciting, but
here it comes.
I got a book for Christmas called Mail Order Mysteries, okay? And it's this dude
that
has gone back into like comic books and all the bullshit that like they used to advertise in the back of comic books, like get a whoopee cushion for 50 cents or sea monkeys for $1.50. He's gotten onto like eBay and found those things and like bought them and kind of rated if they like, you know, lived up to the expectations of the advertisements.
Sure.
Which almost universally, bless you.
Sorry.
Or my bad, science.
Yeah. Science!
So he's gone back and he's bought all of the toys and stuff that you can find in the back of all these old comic books. And it is a fucking fascinating read because there's so much just
like a true story. Or?
Yeah. Like oh, okay. I'll pull the book off the shelf before we take off so you can check it out. But so like I know you'll remember this. Like, so the 100 army men for $1, right?
Oh, and it comes, I loved army men. They were the best. So
it comes in a locker and like the advertisement is super, super cool. Right. But when you buy it, the locker is made out of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And when you open it, the army men are like only this big.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like a third as wide as normal army men. They're like super, super skinny with like these like kind of small bases. So they still stand up. And like if you look at them from the side, they look like normal army men. But if you look at them head on, they look like an army man pancake. Like, you know, and that's how they were able to afford to make like 100 army men for $1. And so it's, or like the monster masks are like, if like a 10-year-old made a rubber monster mask, they're just fucking terrible. But all, you know, all these kids throwing away 25, 50 cents, you know, Count Dante, I know you guys have seen the ads with the dude that's like got his like eagle claws out and it's all blacked out. Count Dante's like deadliest martial arts moves and stuff. So the inside of the book, yeah, it has some martial arts moves and stuff, but one of the deadly moves is literally sticking your thumbs in some dude's eyes. Well, yeah, no shit, that's deadly, man. Like, holy crap.
Game of Thrones proved that.
So it's just this really cool book that has all of these, like, it has the ads and then it has, like, the actual product. And it's one of those moments where I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't fucking throw away my 50 cents on that shit. I would have been so pissed off because I remember I used to look at the back of the comics and be like, oh, man, if I only got like 50 cents more for my allowance, I could pick this thing up.
You're like,
or if I save for like 2 weeks, I could get this really cool thing. And what's funny is like the book is like 150 different items. You know, maybe 200 different items. There's like 6 of them where he's like, yeah, this is pretty cool. And all the rest of them are like, this shit is hot garbage. Right. Like, you would have gotten ripped off. It's made out of cardboard. It's made out of like...
I don't remember what shitty cereal I had to eat for a year. But it was like a good-for-you cereal. But if you saved enough of the back... if you saved enough of the back, like, cuttings, you could get they had a bunch of different options where they were superhero rings.
Oh, okay.
And so I saved it. I ate it for a year. My mom got it. She's like, eat the healthy cereal. I'm like, oh, fuck. Get that Iron Man ring. Or no, I got a gold, Green Lantern ring. And when it came.
Of course you did, bitch.
When it came, it was blue and not painted. And I ate cereal for a year. I remember being. It was one of the most disappointing moments.
Buddy, it was supposed to turn your finger green.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to come green.
Right? Yeah, that fake metal.
But I do remember as a child just being like devastated. I was like,
give me all the Cocoa Puffs.
Fuck you, Kellogg's.
I'm never eating cakes again.
Oh, man.
Or plain Cheerios.
I think it was something like plain Cheerios or plain cornflakes.
That first bowl of Kix is good. The first bowl, you know, when you open the vacuum bag, the silvery vacuum bag, that first bowl of Kix, delicious. After that,
nope.
Day two, they're stale. No matter how you seal that bag, no matter how you fold it over, no matter what you do, day two, that box of Kix is fucking stale. Like, worst cereal.
Random poll. Favorite cereal. Go.
Oh, yeah, I can do this.
You know what? I actually like boring cereal, so I eat a lot of Chex.
Oh, dude, I love like Rice Chex.
Yeah.
How about you, Tim?
There was a cereal that used to give me the shits, shocker, and it was the Scooby-Doo cereal. And it was fucking delicious.
Of course you would like fucking Scooby-Doo cereal.
It was the best of both worlds.
You like living in a cartoon world.
Kind of. It was the best of all worlds. Cinnamon, marshmallows, diarrhea.
No, you don't have a mic. Shut up.
Besides, you have a mic. Besides leading your mouth like raw, Captain Crunch is by far my favorite cereal.
Oh, buddy. They used to sell these hot Cheetos that were balls, but it was so fucking hard to eat them. It's so like horrible. Yeah, I do like hot balls in my mouth. It was so delicious, but they were big Cheeto-like poof thingies, and it was too hard to eat them.
Yeah, Captain Crunch is like literally a self-regulating food. Like, you can eat a bowl. You eat two bowls, your mouth's fucked up.
The roof of your mouth is going to feel like sandpaper.
So I have a total, like, old dude favorite cereal.
It's like Quisp or something.
No, it's Honey Bunches of Oats.
I heard it was good. I've never tried it, but I heard it was good.
It was good.
Because it's
Flakes. Is it not out anymore?
It's like, you know, Flakes. Like,
isn't that black girl on the commercial still?
What?
Isn't that what in the she has her hairnet? She works in the
don't watch TV.
Yeah,
she
works in the fucking factory, and she's all happy about her Honey Bunches of Oats, bro.
I do know what you're talking about. No, I love Honey Bunches of Oats.
I like Rocky Mountain chocolate cereal.
She was
the same thing, but with little chocolate bars in it.
Yeah,
that shit's fucking delicious too.
I also like Special K Red Berries.
I like the blueberry Chex, bro. It's delicious if you haven't had it. It's fucking amazing.
Of Chex. Like, just in general, except for wheat Chex. Wheat Chex are
I don't like wheat anything.
Yeah, I like the strawberry.
I like
Chex
the frosted the mini wheats, the frosted mini wheats.
Oh, me too, actually. I do like frosted mini wheats. I grew up on nothing but plain cornflakes. So when I was an adult, I was eating everything fucking else. So.
We got
guacamole cereal.
Yeah. So fuck you, Mom.
Yeah, we had cornflakes or Cheerios.
Marshmallows and cereal. That's weird.
Or occasionally you'd get the discount bag of like supposed to be a good cereal.
Yeah, like the Malt-O-Meal version. Yeah.
Ugh.
But it was
no, there's no difference. There's literally no difference between them.
But
they're,
as a kid,
they're made in the same factory and packaged in different packages.
As a kid,
no, I'm not taking the chance.
Because right.
I'm gonna tell you a secret. I worked this milk factory that I worked at that you guys who are longtime listeners may have heard of. Exact same milk goes into bottles with different labels.
Oh, I'm sure.
You pay $1.25 for the Walmart brand and $4 for the Dairy Pure brand. They are the same fucking milk. That cereal that's in the Malt-O-Meal bags that's, you know, Captain or Ahoy Mateys or whatever, same fucking cereal as Captain Crunch. Like, I guarantee it.
I know that's true, but when you're 8, you just don't believe
it. Oh, yeah, when you're 8, you don't give a fuck. You're like,
that's some bullshit.
G.I. Joe is not on the front of my fucking cereal.
I used to go to my friend Daniel's house because his mom always bought the legit shit. I'm like, you got the real Captain Crunch.
I know I can only eat one and a bowl of this, but...
Is that a legitimate Totino's pizza?
Not a Tony's?
When you get the knockoff Totino's pizza, you're going a little too cheap, Mom. That's on...
Exactly.
Back in the day.
They were a dollar a piece, bro. They were amazing.
Even a dollar back then. They were like 70 cents. It's like, I don't know about that.
I'm going to get the Tony's. Where's the 48 cents?
Do my mom to this day. Okay, my parents are – they live there. They have money. Now, it's saved away, especially after my stepdad's parents died. My mom still buys discount ramen noodles.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're 11 cents, mom. Splurge.
Get the top ramen. It's called top for a reason.
No, mijito. These ones are 8 cents. I was like, because they taste like garbage.
One of them's made out of noodles. One of them's made out of cardboard.
Yeah, like poorly translated label. So the chicken, it still says cock flavor.
Oh, dude, those are hilarious to me.
I just can't believe she does that to this day.
Buddy, like, my mom's the same way, but she doesn't have any money, so.
Well, if you guys want to give us your opinions on cereal.
Or your money.
Oh, that's where I thought you were going with that. Fuck that all up.
You can find us.
I'm getting ever closer to having a real store open. To having our TOTLB store open. I'm fucking excited.
I thought you were talking about the other thing.
No.
No, don't talk about that at all.
Shut up. I'm talking about the TOTLB store so that I can finally fucking copyright our name. So
nice.
I'm spending the money. I'm doing it no matter what. I'm spending $700 to do it. I have to have this store open.
Oh, are these motherfuckers still not giving you guys your shit?
No, I don't know. They haven't talked
responded
to
me
so,
since the last time I messaged them.
I mean,
I think they're mad at me now because I talk shit about them
so.
Relentlessly.
Oh, you mean that other shitty, fake, multi-meal version of
the multi-meal. Yeah.
The cardboard version.
You know what's inside that bag? Not thinking outside the long box. That's what's
not
inside that
bag.
Half a fucking G.I. Joe.
That shit is not made in the same factory.
Dick tips. Bag of just dick sad tips. Dick tips.
Well, if you want to send us your money, there are basically two different ways to do that. You can go to
dick tips.
You can go to amazon.totlb.com. Works the same way normal Amazon works. I totally forgot what I was going to say there for a second. So there's these weird.
You bitched about the app last night.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
The app? What app?
So I have the Amazon app on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'll be like, oh shit, I'm going to buy this thing. And I'll just do it really quick on my phone. And then as soon as I hit buy, I'm like, fuck. I didn't go to our website first to do
buddy.
It.
Buddy. You can just save it as a tab on your screen.
I know.
It doesn't save in the app.
It doesn't save
it
in the app.
It is obnoxious.
You don't need the app. You can just go to www.amazon.com.
No, you can go to amazon.totlb.com.
No, I'm just saying you don't need the app. You can just use it on the fucking
website. You can only go. Yeah.
No, but you're not understanding what I'm saying.
Yes,
no,
I do. I completely understand. It's just that involves typing
you just
and
braid
thinking.
That horse's hair with one hand.
No, it's did you?
Yes, one hand.
Anyways. Or you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB and become one of our patrons.
Thank you, Christine. We have to record a new intro today.
We have to record a new intro.
We got a new Patreon supporter.
Oh. So, Christine, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We hope that you're enjoying the show. I love that she went in like blind.
Yeah, I don't. That's not good.
No.
For somebody wanting to give me money and you don't know about the show, that scares me a little
bit.
Well,
she knows that she likes us.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that she knows that she likes the show.
Oh, it's just some like nice old lady. That
no, this is
no,
she used to
she's
do
one
the
Suffering Sapphires.
Yeah.
She's,
I don't know why she never. She worked in a radio station, I think. I don't know why she would have never listened. But I appreciate the money that you're giving us. So hopefully
right
you
here,
like it.
We say ridiculous shit. We don't mean most of it.
Most of it.
Yeah. You
I'm
pick
still
and choose.
Pretty sure
how to take that.
See in widescreen. That's not
wow,
negative.
Wow, that's God. Getting cut out.
Anyway, so
sure,
you can
be
go
awesome
to,
if it was real though.
It would be pretty awesome. You could go to patreon.com/TOTLB to join us on Patreon, where we have before the episodes and obviously the
which
project.
We didn't record.
Yeah, we're going to record it.
We're going to record it after. Bro.
We're recording the
go,
before and after at the same time,
go
asshole.
Grab my camera. Thank you. Oh, fuck you then.
Hurry up.
Anyways, there are several different ways that you can engage us, talk to us about your favorite cereal or whether or not you like Office Space or have you even seen Have the Gods Must Be Crazy?
Am I gay?
Yeah, you can go to www.totlb.com
yes,
to find
next
all,
topic.
to find all the different ways to do that. But to simplify it for you, I will tell you right now that you can go to facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at @outsidelongbox. You can give us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call on the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline at 970-573.
It really is a memorial hotline because he's never around anymore.
6148-970.
Dead to me.
573.
Is it because he said you should be in a fucking white cape?
And you can leave us overproduced sound bites explaining why Doyle is gay. So
fuck that guy. We need to fuck that guy. Who's the, it's got to be John still.
I don't want it to be him though, because I like it. If you enjoyed Clyde's corrections, go to Old Still Radio Show. I want to give him the legitimate thing. Old Still Radio Show.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Marvel thing.
What Marvel thing?
You were all mad about how he made fun of you because it wasn't a Marvel.
Oh,
property.
It's not actually that bothersome to me. Like,
semantics.
Yeah, I mean,
he kind of says it was semantics anyway.
He says it's nitpicky, and I know that it's nitpicky. But the reality is that most people read those as Marvel books and not as Malibu books. So fucking bite a dick, Clyde.
Fuck that guy.
I love him though. Anyways,
yeah, it's okay. It's a term of endearment.
So check us out. We love having...
You say it because we love you.
Yeah,
we love having you guys' reactions on the show. We love talking to you guys on the internets, on all our various social medias. If you enjoy this show, please go to iTunes and give us a review. It helps us get a little bit more out there. Say whatever you want in the review. Just leave us a 5-star review.
iTunes, Stitcher, iTunein.
TuneIn. Still working on the Spotify. That's hard as fuck. Apparently.
The problem is they don't so we're a part of a bunch of podcast groups, and so like they don't send you any confirmation that they are you aren't,
or
you just fucking appear.
Even really receive your information. Like it's a weird setup, but we'll get there eventually. We'll
hopefully
get there. And if you're really enjoying the podcast and you know somebody that you think will enjoy our particular brand of incredibly vulgar pop culture casting, be sure to tell your friends. Like, one of the best ways that we can get more listeners is word of mouth. If you have a friend that would think this is funny,
if you have a friend in the diamond business,
visit the Shane Company, 1 mile off of Emporia Street. Some
people are going, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. Except for everyone from Denver who's like still repeating the rest of the commercial.
Use TOTLB.com.
But anyway,
for checkout.
Anyway, tell a friend about the podcast if you enjoy it. Leave us a 5-star review at iTunes, or I think you can do reviews on Stitcher and stuff.
You
too.
Can. Any podcast aggregate that you use, I'm sure, has a review system. So
right
put them out there. That way, when people Google Thinking Outside the Long Box, we're the first thing that comes up, even though we fuck. Are
how many subscribers does YouTube need still?
Oh, YouTube needs exactly 70 subscribers still. Right. You can go to YouTube and look up Thinking Outside the Long Box, or there when we post YouTube videos, there's always links on our Facebook
we
page.
We do need to do that more often.
We definitely would like to get more followers. There's a lot of projects that need to be worked on for YouTube.
Well, and then coming up here, con season, we're going to have way more videos up there the further into con season we go.
If you don't want to miss some awesome videos from con of, like, you know, snippets of interviews before they hit the show.
Gabe getting diddled on the road.
Gabe crying because he's emotional, or Gabe pleading for help because his knee exploded. Gabe in a wheelchair. We did a
getting
Super
roasted
Troopers.
By the EMT.
We did a Super Trooper.
The panel.
Last year we did Ron Mars's panel, mm-hmm. and like the diversity in comics panels at Denver Comic Con.
And we've already been reached out to do some more for
some
next
more
year.
Panels.
So I'm excited. I'm very excited.
So be sure.
It's busy. We're coming into our busy season.
This is our busy season. Be sure to go to YouTube and subscribe if you don't want to miss out on some of the cool stuff that we put on YouTube during con season. So with that said, this has been episode 84 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm wan and perturbed.
God. Do it again.
There's a finger coming out of your son's pants,
Gabe.
And it's really weird.
I'm Gabe.
I'm on.
I'm Doyle.
Nah.
I'm John.
He was on the show today.
Yay.
John.
Feedback. Feed me feedback. Feedback.
Hey,
Hey, guys. This is Jonathan from the Lamp Show. Well, thanks to you guys not accepting the shipping charges, I've wound up in some foreign country called Puerto Rico. It's clearly some third world country because they don't have any electricity here. They all hate Donald Trump. And every time I say I'm an American, they get upset and start throwing rolls of paper towels at me. I'm told, of course, that they are the finest soft towels one can buy, though. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do now. I'm forced to stay in my solar-powered shipping crate, as it's the only place on this island in the middle of a big, big ocean with big waters surrounding it that has power. I'm trying to work my way back to the U.S., but everyone here is so confused. They keep telling me I'm already in the U.S. Silly backwards natives, right, you know? So anyways, I've got an inside source at the Old Still Radio Show compound, and it turns out they're working to get me some clues to Clyde John Still's name. So I'm going to keep working on that. I'm going to keep calling you guys to let you know what I find out. Oh, and by the way, you guys should congratulate me. Turns out I am the proud father of a baby man goat. Okay, guys. Well, keep shining your lamps, and I'll talk to you all later.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barren Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.